Yes, we're up and running. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for coming on such a dirty night. Before we start, I just think I ought to say a few words on the horrific murder of the MP in London. And it's just such a terrible attack on a man that's got his head above the parapet to serve people. And we should just record our condolences and sympathies.
And we put a message on the website.
And, yeah, we've got a few words on the back of the website. Yeah. Right, okay, thank you. Before we start, is there anybody who would like to say anything that is not on the agenda? Lynn.
Okay, very briefly, I'm speaking really on behalf of Councillor Ridley, who you know retired a few months ago. While she was still a parish councillor, she looked at and raised a few issues or was looking into things, and she would like just an update, if possible, on some of the things that she instigated. So, very briefly, the first one is she undertook a rubbish bin audit, and we were wondering, Sammy was wondering where that had got to.
I'm still waiting to hear back from Iron Grace, and I'll give them a nudge.
Okay, that's that one. Thank you. And the other one is the TPOs, the tree preservation orders that we were going to look to instigating throughout the parish.
Yeah. I might be mistaken, Lynn, but I thought that Vilma was going to have something to do with that.
She was chairing it, yeah, she was going to run it, yeah.
Is that anything
happening? No, funny enough, I went and saw her the other night and it never came up, but okay. I'll give her, she's away at the moment, I'll give her a tinkle when she comes back. Mm. Okay. But I think she just wanted to be the communications centre and then she was going to process it from that.
I think Vilma's trying to get people to do various areas, wasn't she?
Well, we'll have to speak to her.
It was three tree wardens to go round and
see.
Yeah.
Well, this is slightly different, isn't it? This is actually putting stamping TPOs on some of the trees. I mean, the two that spring to mind are the two on the side of the wreck.
Exactly.
We've done that. We've registered that. Yeah.
Last month. Okay.
But they haven't come back, have they?
Well, I've got a little update. They've officially acknowledged it. So that's good. That's since the last meeting. Yeah, that's going to be my clerk's report. So I did get, after I contacted Jerry Willis, who's a really helpful tree officer, to say I registered a TPO a request for those two oaks. I didn't hear anything. He said, here, try this form and send it to this email address instead of the portal thing on the website. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, within a day, I got a response back saying, thank you, we're assigned I think it is Jerry, assigned a tree officer, and you'll hear back when they've made the decision. So,
right, okay. There's some other points, Lynn, was there?
There's two more that I'll describe, Becky, when we talk about the
community
partnership.
Okay, any other questions? No? Right, so apologies for absence.
Yes, we've got Councillor Barry, Councillor Jenkins and Councillor Gienart Davis.
Has anybody got any declarations of personal or prejudicial interest? Okay.
Yep.
And I'll have that one in planning as well.
What, 523 as well?
Is it 523? Yeah. No.
776.
Okay. Right, so to approve the minutes of the previous PC meeting held on the 20th of September. Somebody second? All in favour?
Approved? Oh, brilliant. In that case, Barry, you can sign those while you're here, excitingly. I'll find you a bit where you can sign it. There you go. Thank you very much.
It's a good workout as well, listing that up.
Okay, Brian, your report, please.
Okay. The Environment Officer reported that during one of the recent storms, some damage occurred to several of the fence posts at Kerryfield's play area, and you could see like nails and screws coming through them. Now, luckily, they weren't on the play area side, but obviously they were about to give way. So we've had three of those post replaced by clean white cleaning. They did them pretty quickly for us. And that's going to be about £200, including labour and materials. We're going to keep some other posts under observation just to see if any others, because some of them are looking a bit more worn than others. We put the Dingley Park audit signs back up because the spot checks are about to start again, and they're going to be carried out during the rest of the season. Unfortunately, one of the things we've been hoping for, talking to Richardson's, there's still no dates on concrete posts. It's now gone from being a case of concrete posts were going to be so many weeks till they're in stock to just no dates at all anymore. So it's another thing, unfortunately, that the pandemic has made difficult to get. But actually, the fence is in pretty good condition for what's there, but obviously we're going to replace it as soon as we can. I'm on leave from the 25th of October to the 1st of November inclusive, so that's next week and the first Monday, because when I get back
liaison with Robert, probably.
Thank you very much, that's very kind of you. So funny enough, talking about the tree preservation order, I've got acknowledgement from the Isle of Wight Council now that an officer has been assigned to investigate the validity of the request, and the tree officer will write to us to inform us of the decision as to whether they'll be preserved under a TPO or not. The update to the financial regulations that was approved by the council last week to allow the responsible finance officer, who's also me as well as I'm also that as well as a clerk, to make electronic payments has been completed. And fingers crossed, this month's payments will be made by bank transfer tomorrow rather than the physical checks that you assign. So tomorrow morning I'll wake up and grip the arms of the chair tightly because one of them's my salary, and hoping that will actually have worked. If not, we're going to be writing some checks in a hurry afterwards.
Maybe.
We'll see. Defibrillator electrics were put in place last week, and the box has been secured a bit more in place on the wall today by CWC, and the final part of that sealing it off will take place tomorrow, and we hope to have defib in place in the box this week and registered with the circuit. So that'll be exciting. So that's all gone really well.
Are you going to do that with the circuit?
Yes. Yeah. Finally, the Parish Council's response to the island plan consultation was collated and submitted to the Isle of Wight Council. The final response can be viewed on the Parish Council's website, and we had acknowledgement from the Isle of Wight Council that it had been received. So your comments were taken on board and have been recorded, and hopefully will be taken into whatever consideration they make for updating it. And that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Right, planning. Chris.
Somebody want to address the council?
Yeah, there's two gentlemen here, Ever Van Dyke and Mike Randall. If you'd like to make a presentation, either of you, one of you, together. Both of you.
Thank you. We represent many locals and regular visitors in Nesterton CU through SaveTheDogsField.co.uk. We've been working for nearly 15 years to protect the doggy field. We ask that this council submit representation to the Isle of Wight Council seeking refusal of the current application, which I'm sure Councillor Redpath will be talking to us about, from Eton College. You have already submitted a welcome objection to the earlier application to build 8 houses on what's known as the adjoining farmer's field. That application has still not been determined. And Eton has piggybacked their application for a further 9 houses on the earlier one, using the same access route. We would ask that your council require that the 2 applications be conjoined and considered together, because effectively they are one. There are already many objections uploaded to the Planning Department website. They support most of the representations which we'll be making. We have retained expert traffic and roadways consultants who will be sending in a report. We've retained general planning consultants who will be sending in a report. And as will a third consultancy who will be reporting on privacy and overlooking factors. Our principal objections are significant. I'll try and read them quickly. We've got some printed copies of this which we can give to you.
Okay.
Firstly, access and traffic. The proposed access route along Seagrove Manor and Farm Roads is wholly unsuitable. Seagrove Manor Road is the old driveway to the manor. Tortuous bends and the roadway is narrow, requiring vehicles to mount the curb in order to pass each other or park. Traffic levels along Seagrove Farm Road was more than triple if these two developments were allowed to proceed. That track is an important footpath and bridleway. Users would be put at risk if the resulting usage by cars, delivery vehicles, etc. were permitted. Island Roads and the Rights of Way Officer have each recommended refusal. Please, please will this council do the same. Secondly, our Green Lung. So many people have referred to it as that. The combination of the football field, the farmer's field and the donkey field give us a much valued, treasured green corridor lying between the two settlements. Just read on the website the many objections which have stated how this land is loved. It's used by many on foot, cycle or horse. It gives access from the village down to the shore, where there is no car parking, for locals and holidaymakers alike, with iconic views of the National Trust, Thorston Point, the sea and St Helens Court. And in the reverse direction, it provides a welcome green corridor going up to the sports field, fringed by ancient woodland. Development of the two fields will destroy our village's green lung, turning countryside into suburbia. The fields in question lie outside the established settlements, and they have been removed from the council's strategic allocation, on which they have been listed erroneously in 2018. Biodiversity. We know that the fields support the local red squirrel population. We can vouch for there being significant bat activity. Neighbours report populations of dormice and some reptile colonies. The developments would put these ecosystems at peril. The applicants have perhaps deliberately not submitted any biodiversity statements with their applications. Nor, I should mention here, is there any landscape and visual assessment statement. And while the arborist's report covers trees within the site, it does not consider the two iconic oaks adjacent to the football field and across which routes the traffic will pass. Housing needs. It is accepted the island does need more housing, but these two developments deliver executive-style properties which with their sea views would sell at inflated prices to mostly second-home purchasers, even the smaller houses. The developments do not deliver additional housing to meet the needs of the island plan, nor of the probable island plan which will be adopted after the current consultation. Nettleston and Seaview, we suggest, have no need for an additional 17 houses of the types proposed. And we wholly support this council's representation that the Isle of Wight Council should plead exceptional circumstances to get target building numbers reduced. Lastly, ground instability. Residents with properties adjacent to the fields in question, in particular to the south and the east, are familiar with the ground being unstable due to underlying layers of plastic clays. This development could exacerbate the slips which have already been experienced and put neighbouring properties and infrastructure at risk. We have uploaded a letter from Dr. Malcolm Woodruff emphasising the risk. He is the recognised expert in local geological matters. The last item, which isn't on what we've handed out, is privacy and overlooking. And we've carried out a study, the report is just in, that indicates there will be serious overlooking on properties in Solent View Road. We ask that this council carefully consider the applications, and decide to seek its refusal, citing as many reasons for that refusal as can be mustered. Thank you.
Edward, did you want to say something?
No, I think Mike said.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I agree that it's an inappropriate development. It's just another speculative greenfield proposal, adding to those that are plaguing Seaview and Nettleston and actually the island altogether. And you refer back to the fact that the parish council has said about the exceptional circumstances. And I can't see any other way that we can stop this onslaught of green speculative greenfield development unless the numbers are reduced, because we can't deliver the numbers, even the ones that they're putting in the draft plan. So I would urge all of you, you know, when you're making your comments on this, to actually add that as an aside, if anything, because that is the key to everything. And we can't relax until those are brought down. I think it's well known that I'm against greenfield development. I know, you know, the parish council generally has a policy that that's not what it wants. And I think that has to apply to everywhere. You know, we are a joint parish. The two parishes, well, two villages make one parish. And there are distress in Neckleston as well, I see you about some proposals. The Gibwell Field, there's an item coming up later on WO9 and CV Lane to actually facilitate that, which is something which is actually causing a lot of distress to people who are living up there and Eddington Road. So I think we all have to work together and put, you know, we mustn't be divisive in what we're saying. We stand together over the whole thing. I know it sounds as if you're being naysayers to everything, but I think, you know, you can't pick one side against another. My suggestion was that what we actually did was reissue pretty much what we actually issued last time. I have actually copied.
Sorry, Trish, can I interrupt you? Please, apology. Before we get into the donkey field,
yeah.
Should we go through the delegated decision?
Okay, right. Yes,
sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just trying to do this in order.
Yeah. Okay. So the delegated decisions. Yeah. We start off with Burnham House, Oak Hill Road, which proposed replacement garage with Bayes Link, and that was granted. The parish council supported that. There was. The cottage at Oak Hill Road, which was a demolition of the garage conservatory and single story extension, proposed alteration single story extension to include terrace at first floor level, that was granted. Actually, the parish council objected to that one, saying that we felt it was out of keeping with the surrounding properties, and the grant actually had some concern about trees, but they didn't take on board what we said. So, you know, we can only do our best. The third one was Cause Avenue, retention of the balcony on the front elevation. Well, that was a strange one, actually. It had been there for some time, but they've never got permission for it. And the people who now live in the house have had to do it retrospectively, and we have no problem with that either. And then the other one, which was quite a contentious one last time, was the land adjacent to Pear Tree Cottage, Circular Road, to put a pedestrian doorway into the old wall down there. We objected, members of the public came and asked us to, and we agreed with them, and so did the planners. They refused it on pretty much the same ground, to destroy that wall. So back to our list of poems then. Going back to the Lanterrea Selfie Road. Yes, what I was going to suggest, as our the best option for us, and I'm happy for people to add in things, was a sort of regurgitation of the previous objection that we made, taking out one or two paragraphs where we were talking about the core strategy and the applications. And I was suggesting that we added in a bit where we said, furthermore, most importantly, there is problem with access to the site. This has resulted in strong objection by Island Rose, with which the parish council concurs. And I was suggesting we add on, in this instance, Island Rose has repeated its objection to application 00779, highlighting that this particular application proposes access through the other site, which is yet to be determined. And then it goes on to say that Seagrove Manor Road is very narrow and can be difficult to negotiate. We also had a comment in about the supplementary planning document that had been put in with the council's view on preserving the green spaces. And it actually refers there, the parish council considers, this is a quote actually, the existing open spaces and wooded areas should, wherever possible, be preserved in perpetuity. Because of their particular importance to communities, recreation, visual amenities, parish councils see local brain space designation for open spaces threatened by a development proposal unless there's an overriding public benefit. And it talks about green lands and landscape buffers, yes. Better linking of the town and country and serving recreational needs. So I was suggesting that we did that. I mean, listening to your what you've just said, I suggest that maybe we should add in the comment about the unstable land as well.
Yeah. Have you got that? I was going to bring that for our supplementary planning, that's the relevant bit.
Could there be something put on there about the vehicle
movements
as well?
Yeah.
Because it's more
important
than
that. Okay.
Thank you.
So, to triple, I've scribbled on this, and you have it.
Thank you.
I've identified the right bits in the supplementary planning document, and you probably already have it, but I've
Trish, do you want to bring the mic in again?
Yeah, sorry.
The one factor that is relevant to the donkey field that is not, I don't think, relevant to the farmer's field, the previous one, is the overlooking and privacy. The expert report we've had commissioned only came in today, and we've got some photographs here that demonstrate the effect of overlooking on the houses in the road.
These are photographs taken by drone, which would be the view from the proposed development up to floor windows onto the existing houses.
As long as it's not you and your bathroom, Barry, I don't mind.
Does the unstable land only apply to this one, or did that apply to the other one as well?
Yeah. In particular, the house 9.
I can see me in my bathroom.
Yeah, I was going to say, Barry. That's
no, not really. No, no. Crikey, yeah.
Yeah. So, was that taken at a sort of a.
At the height of a house?
That was taken at the exact height
of a house.
Windows would be in the proposed houses.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we will be submitting a comprehensive report, which will include those photographs, which you can keep.
Okay, thank you.
We've only got the drafts up.
Can we keep these?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to keep them in your file?
Yeah,
thank you,
yes.
Well, I don't know. I can hang on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so you can disseminate, can't you?
So, is that. that's what I'm proposing then. Mm. We submit pretty much on the same lines, taking out the bit about the core strategy, which is gone and passed now. Adding in about the fact that Island Roads have repeated their objection and pointing out that this one proposes access through the other site, which hasn't been determined. And also, as Dave says on that paragraph, adding that it will triple the traffic movements on Seabrook Manor Road, maybe the two together.
Yep. Well, potentially you could have 34 cars living up there, couldn't you?
And then also add in at the bottom, add that the land is unstable. It's known to be unstable.
Mm.
And this development will exacerbate slippage. It has been identified the development will create serious overlooking of Slippery Road.
So you've summarised that nicely. Would somebody like to propose that? Would somebody second it? Okay, all those in favour of against it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll pass that over to you.
Thank you very much, Trish. Thank you, Trish. That was very good.
Thank you.
That's great, thank you very much. Can I just pause you for a second, Rick? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick picture of these as well, so that way you're in my cloud, in case.
Oh, Kevin.
There's another proposal from the council to get the Arlight Council to put the two together.
Yes, we, Mr. Chairman, we did write to the planning LBLPA asking that the two applications be conjoined.
That's right, you said that, Mike, didn't you? Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I've requested that, but I may not do it, whether I do it or not, but I've asked for it.
Well, can we also put in the waiver for any advance as well? Well, Dave might be doing it, but shouldn't it come from us as well?
Yeah, the farm field is in well before.
Oh,
yeah, but if you look at the application, the donkey field application, the road now goes through right the way through instead of being a dead end previously.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that.
So,
well, what I'm saying is, you know, they put them in two separate situations. How? Where was the difference between what space? 12 months? 2 years?
No, hang on. There's an interesting fact here. If you notice the numbers, the Donkeyfield one was actually submitted before, I believe. It's a slightly lower number, if you notice. It's only a few in it.
Are you sure about that? I thought Ansel's was in before anyway.
No.
The other one came out first, yes. But if you look up the numbers that the planning officers have given them, they gave the Donkeyfield one marginally before. They must have gone in pretty much the same time. Has anybody else noticed that?
I think you're missing number one. The Palmerfield was 00779.
Oh, yeah, there's 100 difference.
01776.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would have been interesting, though, for sure, I agree. But,
nevertheless, the point still remains, should we?
It does remain. I mean, there is a time scale, isn't there, for actually dealing with these things, and they may...
But if there's any form of machinery we can use, or instrument, to railroad it, we should.
Dave,
you're trying
to do that,
so but Dave's doing it in his war tanks for capacity. I think we should... do the same.
The biggest weapon we've got in our armoury is actually a thing called deferral.
Yeah.
We need to try and get these applications deferred until next March.
Yes, because then they won't.
Because that's the real critical time, and it's a lot of these things. The planners won't see the valid points of objection. The strongest point we've got in there. Yes, my belief is the island roads objection. I think we really need to push the roads objection because that carries considerable weight. The land stability means nothing because they'll just come back with, they will pile it and do what they've got to do. If they want to build them that much, they drive piles in. So it's but having said that, we've got to try. Anything we can put in.
I think we should. Mike, what was that form of words when you were talking about conjoining the two planning together?
Ryan's got a copy of the letter that we sent.
Okay.
I forwarded it to you. You've all seen it.
Yeah, I'm sure I have. Yeah, I just can't remember the form of words.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, we don't put it as part of our objection. We do it as a separate
Let's do that.
So we don't want anything that they can come back and say, well, this isn't relevant because you've tried to do two things together, which aren't.
Yeah.
Okay, well then.
And I think it's sensible that we maybe decide that that's what we want to do in the future, but I don't think it's going to work at this stage because we need to object to what. We're being presented with.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Becky, I've also requested for it to come before a full committee.
Yeah.
So maybe we could put that in as the parish council.
Yeah.
But at the moment, they're not giving us any joy on that. But what I will say, Richard Armstrong, the case officer, he is keeping in touch with me. Mm-hmm. So there's been a delay at the moment. It was actually on today, but he said it's been delayed a bit. So I'm waiting to hear back from him.
Okay, so what do we think then? Do we do this?
You definitely can't do it now. It's not on the agenda. No. You can't do it.
Mike.
We would agree completely that the strongest reasons for refusal are the Island Road and Rights of Way Officers' submissions. But if it gets turned down purely on that, there is a serious risk that they come back with another access route. Mm-hmm. So please do put the other items in.
Yeah.
So can we make sure that's on the agenda for next month?
That will be after the case is shut.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's up to you. You can have an emergency meeting in the meantime, but I'll be on holiday. But you genuinely can. I'm not saying it to be facetious.
No.
You can run one, and I don't have to be here.
Just call me. The more it goes in, the better.
Yeah, I think we should just put it in.
Well, after the you can put it on the next agenda and you still do it. And it, if it's especially well, if you say it's changing on to the side,
we can get something in there, can't we?
Can't we just sort of say, and also we think that as part of our previous resolution?
If you want to change a resolution, you can.
Can we do it?
But
I think we should chuck as much crap at them as we can.
It's up to you guys completely.
What do you think?
Yeah,
Peter?
I think so, yeah.
What do you propose? That we add. We change our previous resolution that we've just voted on, and we add in a form of words that says, and also we think that this two separate applications should be treated as one.
I worry that that means that they'll have an excuse to say that we have.
Maybe they don't need an excuse.
I agree with you. I would hope that the fact that you've actually taken it up should actually mean that it wouldn't be quite so necessary for us if we can't actually do it. Like Becky, I worry that it will dilute our. I mean, I think you made some comment about when you went in planning training that they said that if something
went
wrong,
if you put in a try and put in something like that, they flip it. Yes. Basically, when they say no, it can't be done, your objection or your case gets reversed. That's unfortunately the case. So if you put something like that, it's like when you put a supporting, you say I'd like to support it, but on this condition, if your condition can't be met, then it becomes an objection. Mm. And they do things like that all the time.
Mm. Okay. So straw poll then, we're not going to do that.
No, I think you should be responding to the application.
Yeah. Only
I think, okay. I think we're relying on what Dave has done as the
council, right? Yeah. Can I, Phil wants to say something?
Special circumstances, I don't think we should ignore that because more and more parishes, I mean, like in Wentworth, we need to have freshwater, and Bob Seaman's there, and we have, I think, four IY councils there, and they were going to go down the route, the normal route, you know, the road to wildlife, squirrels, bats, and they changed their tune. In fact, they put special circumstances at the top of the list because they actually recognised that the officers at the IY Council are very, very cynical. There's no accounting for what they might do. I mean, we saw what happened in Kidwell Field where they turned a listed greenfield site into a brownfield site. Kidwell Field was never on the brownfield list. We had the list. And they suddenly turned it into a brownfield site and said it can be developed. That came from Sir Wilcox. And when challenged, she said, oh, it's pure semantics. So they do what they want. So please emphasise, especially for the council, particularly in the light that the day said it's possible it will be deferred until March. The longer, the more time we get, the closer we get to that situation.
Yeah.
So I mean, talking about that, Philip. Good point you remind me of. There's a big thing at the moment, a big drive. We've got lots of problems with southern water. I think maybe we should try and add to this. If we could put a remark in about the drainage, concerns with the drainage, and also with the biosphere, because with the Alliance, they're particularly pushing for the biosphere. And if we're not careful, the islands work very hard to get this designation, we can lose it. And we can lose it through this overdevelopment. The fact that we're losing those two green fields down there is that it's going to become an ours in this game.
Yeah.
It's not what people are coming here for. So maybe we could mention that now.
Well,
whether ours is an attraction, I don't know.
You know, talking about drainage and things like that, some of you will remember, I can't remember the number of that house. What's the number of that house directly opposite me, which isn't in Solent View Road? Is it number one, Matthew's
Way?
No, it's
number two, isn't it, Matthew's Way?
The one right in the corner at the bottom of the road.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they applied for doubling the size of this thing, and I recall that on three occasions the place had been flooded because of poor drainage, and they still passed the application. You know, and my neighbours will remember the fire engines they had at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to pump the place out. You know, and it hasn't improved. We've just been lucky so far. But yeah, the drainage is rubbish.
If nothing else, it just reinforces the Isle of Wight Council view that residents have concerns about these things.
So, Dave, do you want that added into our
I think so, Chris. I think because the Alliance are pushing that stroke, Jonathan Maiden's pushing that through. Mm. And there's a big green contingent in there.
Yeah, what's the proposed form of word? What was it to?
Drainage.
I mean, drainage and the biosphere concerns over development.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. We know there's problems with drainage. We've had flooding down on Pier Road. We've had it could be exacerbated by the fact that they've just cut down all those trees down there, trying to get the application on Pier Road. So maybe that's worth a mention as well, because of the land runoff.
Mm.
I think we've already got, I mean, I think that you've got a pretty good, presumably it's the same thing that went in from Pier Road, is it? The report on the stability of the land.
No, it's a different letter.
Same
problem.
Mm. Okay. Okay, so...
are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Trish.
On to the next one.
You're on.
Now to J.C. Robin Hill. CBRN, which is a proposed detached bungalow and associated landscaping. No objections. On the website,
yeah.
Looks like a pretty big site, and it's got its own individual access. I think.
Yeah, it's a big old place.
I couldn't see that we've got much that we could.
One's called the White House, isn't it?
Yeah. They want to put it.
I better declare an interest on this. Can I, Mike? Can I have it? I suddenly realised
an interesting one.
I had a feeling there was a I had a feeling, sorry, that we did actually approve something there, didn't we?
I don't know. One of the things I find about other councils, I've noticed where they've got the planning, you can look up previous applications on that particular site.
It makes it trickier and trickier. I will, if I've got service, I might be able to check this for us in real time. Wish me luck, everybody.
You're going in.
There have been many applications on this site. There's no physical crossing. I don't know if they're exactly the same, but there have been many applications, a number of which have been rejected.
That's the one with the big galvanised gates, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of another person, so it's fine. I haven't got any interest. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, but one thing you fear that the drainage on top surface water was coming down the hill. But when it all came to heads there, it was okay. It did take it away. It surprised me. Mm. But that's going to be in the same catchment area.
Yeah, it'll come running
next to it. There are three official historic applications with it.
How did you find that?
If you go to... it's really not straightforward. you go to... when you find the application, what is it you have to look on?
I think several of them have disappeared.
No, I was thinking of a development on the White House, which
Road a bit. When you're on, it's not so good on the phone because it's small. I think it's on the right hand side on the computer, and it's at the bottom here. It says related cases, but that doesn't. You click on that, or you go onto that,
then it says this property.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you have to go back on the name of the property. It's not straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But doable.
It is. You're right. Okay. And then, once you get there, then you get property history. So you basically go through a couple of pointless pages.
Is that based on this number?
I found on other council websites, something like that. But I spent ages trying to get into it.
So there is a current...
You have to go over here, Brian, onto that number to get...
Yes.
There.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you type in the planning number, and then you work your way around that site from that.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, so there's been other applications on this particular area, has there?
In 2019, there was one that was granted, which was a demolition of a garage and chalet and proposed dwelling.
Every year or every other year, something comes up on that address.
Hmm. At the time, the parish council gave a neutral response. But that's when you don't. When you don't object and you don't. It's basically. Yeah.
It's already been agreed, though.
Yeah. That was. Yeah, so it's granted that one. No.
Yeah. There we go then.
So, are you going to have a resolution?
What have you proposed then? No objection.
I can't see that we can have an objection, can we? If it's already been agreed once.
The poll.
Not remain neutral.
We'll take the Switzerland action.
Well, we can take remain neutral if you prefer.
Yeah.
I just found it very confusing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, somebody.
Okay, we'll remain neutral.
So you're going to propose remaining neutral? Yeah. Neutral.
Someone's going to second that position?
Yeah. Yeah.
And those in favour?
And that's enough to carry it as a neutral response, then,
though. Okay,
right. I'll don't remain neutral.
Dave's in second gear now.
Lower flat in the Gordon, Berry Road. Proposed garden room and store. Doesn't look particularly large.
And they decided not to do what they put in a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Is that right? And
yeah.
this is a change of application.
Again,
this particular property has come up in the last couple of months.
Yeah. They never say in the thing that it's a resubmission or it's a barrier, you know, it's quite difficult.
I think this one said that they had withdrawn a previous application,
okay,
which was to extend the actual house and now want the garden room instead. Mm. But is that right?
I'll have a look. This is lower flat in the
room. Which part of these are slight changes or really the most complicated?
Yes, they all are.
Yeah.
It's a very strange plan as well. I never quite worked this one out because the red line goes around the house and not all the side.
Oh,
yeah, the application, but you're right, application was withdrawn.
Rescinded or whatever.
Yeah.
Withdrawn. So, in which case, there's no reason to object, is there? Because if we supported the other one, which I think we did.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look particularly contentious. No. Nobody's objected.
Okay, recommendations then.
So you're recommending support then?
Somebody proposed that?
Martin.
And somebody seconded it?
Yeah.
Oh, and off we go.
Yeah. Then we've got Jay's Court on the Esplanade. Which is also, I struggled on this one, but I found this one, but then you're seeing this one.
We've seen this one before, haven't
we? Yeah. It was actually. Nobody's objected to it. Unfortunately, we didn't object to it last time.
We did make a condition, though, didn't we?
We said that's right. But Mr. Hodgson did object after we'd made our comments because he felt that it was going to overlook him. The application was, however, approved. The planning officer noted his objections and told them that they'd got to do something about the glass frame around around the balcony.
Yeah.
And they've now changed it, and they say throughout that they have reduced the plan and that they have dealt with things. Mr. Hodgson hasn't actually put in any further objection, but we did sort of support it last time, apart from the oak tree, so
yes, as it's on a smaller size, I think the top bit is shrunk slightly.
Yes. I've got a feeling, Margaret, is it Margaret Leroy?
Yeah.
Maureen. Hegarty. I've got a feeling she applied for a TPO on that tree.
Did you? I was just going to say that very
Yeah.
And that's the tree that's badly in need of saving.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think
I totally agree.
Well, we said that.
If we don't have that tree there, that bank's going to fall over.
It was a condition.
It was a condition given by
that. Actually, if you look now, the tree officer has said what, how they must protect the tree when they're doing the work.
Yes,
so
and that was part of the what they had before.
I don't think there's any reason to.
It is in danger, that bank, because I don't know if anybody's been down there recently. There's a load of rebar around it, you know, the reinforced netting.
Oh, yeah.
Met.
It's been there quite a year.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because it wasn't, the bits of bank were starting to fall off, and you know, good heavy rainstorm and bush.
I mean, what we could do is reiterate our comment about the tree. What we said was we agreed it should be supported on condition the oak tree is preserved.
Yeah, so same again then. You'll propose that? Somebody second that? Yeah. All those in favour? Thank you. I'm just making a note of that. Thank you.
Then we've got Clarso View Road, demolition of garage, proposing a store extension, roof place, alteration to exterior. Nobody's objected. They're going to build this sort of garage balcony on behind where the garage is. It doesn't look as if it's a major problem, but I did wonder whether it was going to actually cause overlooking of the garden next door.
Yeah,
either roads are okay with them. Have they? Yeah. Has it got a very large drive then?
Well, if they've said it.
A lot of them have, haven't they, in Sanity Road?
Three
parts
that they've said that they think it can. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of back of the. I was just more concerned about looking into the garden next door, but it may not be a big issue.
Mm. Who started the road, is that one? If you started it, so it's Watson's Garden.
It's next to the block on the corner.
It's right by.
What, that big white house? Mm-hmm. I'm right there.
It's right by Stone View Close. It's sort of looking straight up to the end of that. Mm-hmm. It's a bungalow.
Okay.
So, are we going to just make. Do you want to make any comments about ensuring there's no overlooking?
Well, I think providing that the parking doesn't need to be on the street as a result of the changes.
Yeah.
So parking not on the street.
That's an illustration of what
as per Island Road, yeah.
And overlooking.
And ensure there's no overlooking.
No, not overlooking.
Number 10.
12. Number 10.
It's number 10.
Not overlooking
Sudbury.
Oh, right. Yes, of course, yeah.
So support on the grounds that the parking is not on the street as per the Island Road recommendation and that it's not overlooking, should we say, neighbouring property.
Yeah.
Looking
neighbouring
property. So, who's proposing that?
I'll propose
that. Okay, second. Mark. In favour?
Carried. Here we go.
Okay, the next one is land to southeast of Ingle Bell on the Esplanade at Seaview. Had a nice little walk down there in the sunshine. It was quite pleasant.
Wasn't today then?
I think that they've actually this is a resubmission, and they've. Or at least, I don't know if the previously went right through, but they talked to them. And they've actually contained the site, it's smaller than it was. And I can see, they do actually say that they've got, they have got to take down some trees, but that they are saplings, and they're not eroding into the.
Major wasn't there objections on this?
There's no objections.
There aren't still on. No.
His family.
I'm just trying to think where it was.
Last time there was, wasn't there?
Oh,
there was
a lot. Yeah. Ingle Bell's on the Esplanade. If you're at Jay's Court, if you take that road before you get down to
I was thinking of Esplanade down in the village.
That's where I went to begin with. I'm a bit muddled.
Ingle Bell. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's going to be two storey. It's going to be double storey, and they've got the back of the boat houses on either side.
Didn't we have this and we
Yeah, yeah. It was taking up the entire area before, and the family objected.
They produced it to see that was where it's going to be, and now they've produced it. Quite a lot.
That's one of those boat sheds, isn't it?
Yeah.
That area there.
Yeah, all they've got there at the moment is a shed.
Yeah, you want to see what's inside it. It's almost like five-star accommodation inside there.
Oh, not in that shed. Not them. Yeah. Some of the others might be. There's one in that store that's just only recently gone up, which looks as it's been quite...
So, when you get Danes of Wards near the wooden bridge...
Yeah.
So, you've got John Clark's big place, right? Then next to that, you've got a shed...
Yeah, you've got the land in between there,
and then you've got another shed.
Yeah.
Well, in the first shed that you come to after John Clark's place, it's all been fitted out rather splendidly in there. And during lockdown, there were a number of people staying there.
Well, this is the problem with this one, of course, that they
it'd be exactly the same, wouldn't it?
They want to have a summer room and balcony at the first floor.
Yeah, but then that came right onto the concrete, the other one.
Well, this one is set back, but at the same time, by setting it back, it goes into the woodland, nearer to the woodland.
Well, into the street.
That all belongs to John Whelan, that land there.
Opposed it.
I think so.
On what ground, Dave?
Well, I don't know, but we use either development. I think...
Well, I mean, there must be a formal word to tell it like it is. We suspect that they'll live in it when they're here.
I remember seeing it the first time round, and I think we opposed it on...
Yeah.
We thought this was a precursor.
Yeah.
And he was right, because it's come back.
Yeah.
I thought that was a precursor to getting a house on it.
Philip, you want to...
It disturbs me deeply that just because you own a piece of land, people think you can do what you want with it. Well, that piece of land is part of the planet. I've seen this space, and there's no doubt it's going to become much more than it is proposed.
Yeah.
And you can't just talk about saplings as being nothing. Saplings, you know, tall oaks and little acorns, various things. They all form part of that back, and it will strengthen the back. Having a house with a concrete foundation that isn't going to help at all, and you know, I think all of us love walking along the beach and being able to look at what to see, a string of different architectural designs. It's lovely just to be able to see it drift away into the countryside.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
And I think it destroys the aspect. What's down the corner, we've got Fowler's Bay, we know what you want to do around there. We've seen it all the way from Guide. So if you can't say there are no reasons, I think it is destroying, what gives people pleasure, what Trish is fighting for, the open spaces, green spaces.
Could possibly play on the bias a bit.
You could say lots of green space, couldn't you? You could say,
concrete flat, isn't it? Yeah.
On the front, yeah, not on the back.
Yeah.
You allow the trees to grow.
Yeah. I think we should object to it. We just need the formal words, don't we? Overdevelopment.
Overdevelopment.
I think you could fall back on the council's official position that no green space should be destroyed to develop something.
Okay, that's a very good point. So destruction of green space and woodland.
So the proposal is to object on the grounds of the destruction of green space and woodland.
Kevin.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what the difference is between what it is now and what's proposed.
What it will be in the future.
Storage at the moment, so it's change of use into accommodation. There's a big argument to say that you don't want to.
No, this says summer sitting room. Before you know it, you'll have a summer bedroom.
Yes, of course you will.
So that's exactly what you've got next to it.
Yeah.
Could throw change of use in there as well.
Change of use. Okay. I was quite surprised actually because the planning officers have struck a notice up there about it. and they've ignored what's next door. But have they ignored?
Do they even know? I mean, I only saw it as a glimpse when the door was open one day.
I have been fairly enough to have a look at the picture, but is it appropriate architecture for a ceasefire?
They haven't, The problem is,
Joe, when I come in as outline, I just change it then. Because it just comes in again 6 months' time. If it gets approved, 6 months' time it'll be in Eels Reserve Maps. It'll be changed. And my fear is it's just a precursor for an house.
Yeah.
I've no problem for them with a boat store down there.
You can't build in that area because of the land. So I don't think you're thinking houses can be built in there.
No, they're going to float a shed on it or something like that. Rather like what they've got there now.
So if we say that this is change of use to a living area, and storage to a living area, and it's disruption of green space and woodland.
Yep. So that's a proposal to object on those grounds.
Yeah.
Somebody propose it?
Yeah.
Okay. And second? And go?
Okay.
That's carried. Yeah.
Right. Then the next one is Westbrook Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Agricultural fire notification for storage well. That's I think we have got no objections to that.
No.
Objection.
Yeah. So,
a support.
I'll second it,
yeah.
In favour? Okay. Yeah.
And the last one is the sign that the woman has paid for, which is already there. And I wrote that it's got no implication on highway safety.
No, I'm too large. Nah.
Yeah.
But it's, Tommy Clark now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not Vaughan and Page. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, what was there before Vaughan and Page is now Tommy Clark.
Yeah,
so,
it's Vaughan and Page submission, apparently.
He's taken over from him, hasn't he?
From Tommy Clark?
Yeah, no, Tommy Clark's taken over from Vaughan and Page. So he's probably still trading as Vaughan and Page.
Oh, it could well be.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, I can't see we're getting
well
with an
objection. So you're proposing to support
Kate?
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, yeah, well, exciting. You could be neutral.
Yeah, going for any sign day.
We're remaining neutral on grounds of taste.
And there's no appeals?
I haven't been told.
No, there weren't. No, I've got notification of a failed appeal to tell everyone about the bitten letter, but it's not a new appeal.
Okay. Right, so we've no appeals. Okay. We come on to reports. Dave.
Well, it's been another letter. Let's have a mortar. I've had a few emails regarding storm surges and the sewage discharges into the Solent. And there's talk about people would like a meeting. I'd like for us to set up a meeting, but whether we do that as a formal parish meeting, I'm not sure that's the best route. I think that needs to be a public meeting, not a public, because we're addressing it as a parish.
Yeah.
I will be addressing it.
Yeah.
I'm addressing it through.
Well, we've done it with other things, haven't we? We've done it with other things.
So I think
we organise it for the public.
Like a meeting. Yeah, I think we should organise it and go with it.
But they offered us a meeting, didn't they?
They have offered us a meeting.
I think we should take them up on it.
But I think what we should do, I think we should try and defer it a little bit, because I think we should try and get Bob Seeley down and try and get someone from Ivor there. We've both already complained, it might just reinforce our case a little.
Yeah, I think I look important.
So, that's the first thing. It's, secondly, this is the overlap with iBook. It's supporting exceptional circumstances in the draft island plan. I've been really pushing for that. I don't suppose any of you are surprised. And it's we actually got support for that through iBook. They've sent a letter in to the Isle of Wight Council, in that we support Bob Seeley in his plans for the exceptional circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel we've got to reduce those numbers. And thirdly, revival, there's a meeting, an introduction to finance at Cant Hill on Wednesday the 27th of October from 6:30 to 9, and that's open to all councillors, so if anyone wants to attend, just let them know.
They do say, don't they, that if you book a place and you don't go, the council will charge
£50. £50, yeah. So don't book it and not go, yeah. Or if you do, give us £50.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that it's my first of four dental appointments. That
oh, you lucky thing.
About time. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it would be, if anybody is interested, particularly, I've got people who aren't here, but new councillors probably will be useful for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another item there I put down, but I'll leave that till we get to Becky's item, because Becky's put it in there as flooded. So we'll look at that then.
Is that you, Ben?
That's right? That on the item, yeah.
Okay.
Walk Council.
Thank you very much. And Becky?
Right, well, I hope everybody's seen.
Sorry, this is the community partnership section.
I hope everybody's seen the new Barnsley Chair board, it's wonderful board, and all the councillors.
I didn't see that picture, actually, no. I haven't seen it.
It was very windy.
However, so that's had obviously a lot of press and a lot of encouragement for people to walk in. Yeah. But there is a problem, because you can't get around it properly at the moment, because there's a flood.
Yeah.
And
what's that up towards Park Farm?
Yes, we're talking about ponds. The pond.
Yeah. Oh, what, behind Roger Mary?
Yeah. No, that's
it's not a real pond, it's a new one that's been formed.
It's a formed pond.
Yeah. Where's this?
Where a kissing gate is.
Oh, at the top, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You go down past Longman's Copse and
across
the field.
Oh, I'm talking about
the Iron Dicks.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, yeah. Where the boardwalk is.
Yes, just before that.
Right, okay. I was thinking at the other end at...
I gather Brian's already tried to get hold of the rights of way people.
Yeah. It floods there ever such a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. So can we do something about, you know, getting somebody, I don't know whose land it is, can we get somebody to put some...
Well, I would suggest, if someone wants to research into it and do it, they can, which is really good. You could form a working group's looking to it, or someone just wants to do it as a project, that's absolutely fine, just ring around and do that sort of stuff. But officially as a parish council, no, it's not right now in this meeting. If you want to do something with it, put on to a further meeting, but with some sort of resolution behind it of where you want it to go. So,
you need a resolution to stop people walking in a puddle. That sounds a bit
well, I've got to keep us legal, Becky, yes. So it's tricky. It's one of those things where, where do we draw the line with just bringing things randomly to meetings? We don't need to. There is an official department that deals with this, but also community power is good. Mm-hmm. If a councillor wants to, and it's absolutely great, wants to research who owns the land, are they happy to do something, and for the next meeting bring it along and say, I found Mr. Bloggs, he's happy to fill it in, and Dave doesn't mind us doing it. Yeah.
Okay.
We're
happy
to attend
them,
but to find out who's
land. Yes,
well,
indeed. Yeah. That's the thing. And actually, rights of way normally are pretty good, but I say they are limited in their resources. They haven't refused either. It's like, but I'm sure they've got a list as long as several arms, haven't they?
It's a shame when having done towards everything that people, if we encourage people to walk it, then they end up in a huge trouble.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible, and that's why it's good that rights of way exists and they should be pursued to get it done by whoever wants to.
On the Barnsley Trail, was that you would like to have some indicators telling you which way to go. So, do we need a resolution to next time to?
Yeah, it's also a budget.
Can we look into the cost?
If you find the cost and bring them back
to the meeting next time as a resolution,
that'd be really good. Yeah.
Okay.
Just before we go on to the next item, which is me. Sorry, have you not finished? Oh, beg your pardon, Becky.
No, but then
sorry.
I think the landowner is Harold Jules.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No. He's my best friend, and he doesn't own it.
I think it's Jim
Ball. But what Harold does, he puts his K's on it.
Oh, that's what he does. It's his son, isn't it? He rents Brad's account.
Well, Alan George. That's Alan, yeah, that's his son, yeah. But they both farm
They basically got a low store cattle and they fatten them up.
All of those
fields, right? Well, yes, he also has Gibbell Field, he uses that, and next to the bit next to Gibbell Field and the other side of the road behind College Cottage.
Okay, so we can look into it.
Yeah, it's Jim Ball. Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got other things to report from the partnership, which was the. I think a lot of you will know that the Menin Sheds had their official opening, which comes under the partnership. Very nice produce.
Yep.
Has everybody seen been up there and seen it? And the other thing is the Christmas plans. So there are several Christmas plans. Father Christmas is going to be at Vic's on the 22nd of December. The partnership carols will be on the 23rd of December. And we're looking at a shopping, a village late night opening shopping evening, probably on the 2nd of December, but we will confirm that. And Liam has had a meeting with the gentleman from Island Roads about where we can put the pallet Christmas trees this year, and so they will be going
up. Was that a, sorry, Becky, was that a problem last year?
Yes,
because we put them all over the place, didn't we?
And then we had to take them down.
Yeah.
You attached them to
the vandalised. Yes. I was distracted.
The village.
So the main thing is, then you're investigating whether where they can be put.
Yeah, which
we have
already done.
Oh, right.
I've done that.
Okay.
Any street furniture, isn't
there? That went all past me last year. I didn't know about that.
So that's all in hand.
Right.
Okay.
So there will be pallet trees again this year.
Oh,
excellent.
That's better because I've got four of them in my shed.
Very nice. Very lucky for you. Very festive in your shed, Barry. Very festive.
And I've got a log stove.
Oh.
A log stove.
He might have a lobster. He's a
I'll check when I get home.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a lobster when I left. Right, Seagrove Forbidding Trust. Normally we'd get Anne, but Anne's not here. I haven't got a lot to say except they were undertaking some improvements to, basically replace some worn-out electricity stuff. And but really, that's about it. We have recently lost the art club because Anne's decided to pull out after hurting herself, and we're looking for anybody who wants to come in and take that slot on a Thursday.
So she's not doing it at all now?
You know, it's Anne Bridger.
Yeah,
no, she's not. No.
Right,
okay.
We are also desperately trying to resurrect
civil servants. Right. Who's going to do that, Nigel? The reason it hasn't happened is because Nigel says he really
don't
want to do it anymore.
Okay.
We've got plenty of people who'd like to come. What we're short of is volunteers. So if anybody here or anybody knows of anybody who'd like to come along and help for even an hour or 2 hours a month on a Wednesday afternoon, just to help people with some very, very basic IT needs.
Right. Okay.
We'd welcome them. Just let me know.
It's something we could
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Okay. Nelson Residence has opened.
Not any specific, no. I think I'm a member.
I can only see you because the light's right behind you.
Yeah.
With the Residence Association, there has a lot of informal discussion around the Green and
Phil, it has to be that somebody represents them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he's a member. He's fine.
Oh, well, he can.
Yeah, yeah, fine, yeah.
Of course he can. Of course he can.
Okay, there is deep concern about, I know it's coming up later, about the ETO lines, about the car park, and so the car park is supposed to be the start area. That's a building with 17 houses up there, supposedly. Now the zebra crossing, they want to put across the green from the so-called green space. So, have you seen it? You look at the map. The whole thing is a joke. It was highly ambiguous to start with. I can't see us seeing the end of this yet, whatever Mr. Ball wants. The whole development's been very cynical from beginning to this point.
Mm.
And these yellow lines, the number of people that are going to be displaced is quite considerable. and we have to take into account that very few of the residents around the green and go down the Neverton Hill have actually got parking spaces. Just, I know it's been counting cars and taking numbers and beginning to form an idea of who it is that's parking. And I'm sure that we'll have much more information later on.
Yeah.
But there is deep, deep concern, and I like the council.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It is all part of the development.
It could be, yeah.
It has gone away, conservative gone away, between, you know, like these people who sneaky walk away, say, oh, I've got a catch a pay or whatever, so you can slightly impact, you stay to the yellow line, no, they're too busy.
I share everybody's concerns over it. One of my concerns is that the traffic will speed up straight away.
Yeah.
Because it's a natural
This isn't a general item, though, Chairman. Yeah,
when you
say
it, I was going to say actually
yeah.
that the Residents yeah. Association have sort of produced petition thing, yeah. which you can fix at the moment to go around as well. But I was going to bring it up on under the yellow line. So.
Okay. So I walk.
Dave started covering it off.
No, nothing on that. There was a big overlap there, yeah. so I just wrote the single one.
Yeah. Okay, so.
I was just thinking.
Oh no, I've got an across eight here, Joe.
The process has been proposed by the Snot yet open. That's the time to catch the helping as much as he can.
Joe, it's ongoing. We should have a resolution very soon.
Difference between departments within the council. So, regrettably, I hope that the burn line will be open for half term. I don't think it will be.
That starts now, doesn't it?
It's now.
It is, yes. Yeah. 2 weeks, though, so there's a couple of weeks. In.
2 weeks?
Yeah. It goes back to week next year.
They're never at school, are they?
There is movement on it. Apparently, they caught Wendy Pereira on the case.
I've had everything today. Okay. Thank you, Joe. Okay, so the parish council meeting schedule. This is to complete the vote on the resolution to update the standing orders and specify that meetings can occur on the third Monday or Tuesday of the month, rather than just the third Monday.
Yeah, so you did the first part, because a standing order change, it has to take place over two meetings, yes. Can't just be one. You actually set up, proposed and seconded the motion, and now it's time for a vote.
Okay, there's enough of us here to do that, isn't
there? Yes, there is, yeah.
So, all those in favour of being held to hold the meeting on a Monday or a Tuesday, a third Monday or Tuesday in the month, I'm going to propose that we accept that.
I can go ahead.
Yep, okay.
And in that case, just to let you know that the next meeting will be on Tuesday the 16th of November.
At the Pavilion.
At the Pavilion.
Yeah.
So. How have you decided that?
Because you guys said you'd alternate it.
That's what we said, we'd alternate it last month. Okay. Yeah.
But it's also a good thing, because you're saying the date, it means that we would have clashed with November the 5th.
And it's most likely to be warmer.
Yeah.
For those who may have noticed, because we'll have the heating on.
Yeah. I've done all this in advance, Kevin, just in case, but I've also been keeping the church going. I've been spinning a lot of plates on this.
Well,
I'll have to break Sylvia's heart.
You always say that.
The 16th, Tuesday the 16th.
Well, we actually did want the Monday.
Sorry, I thought you said 6th.
We wanted the Monday, but of course, Wendy and the guys have been there forever, so it wouldn't have been fair to even think about it.
We can't shift the guides.
No.
But that does mean then the December 1 will be a Monday and we'll be back here. But in the next meeting, we'll discuss the date for that, because it is Christmas week, so you guys might want to, as you have in the past, bring it forward a week. Okay. But we can sort that out next meeting.
Okay. So the next one, Trish, the traffic order for the Studio Lane.
I think Philip touched on some of it actually, and there is sort of part of this. I mean, this is definitely to do with the gig workers.
It says so, isn't it?
Yeah. But it actually, I mean, if you go back to what Alan Rose actually said about the gig workers development. They agreed, and I know this because we did a survey, and we asked, and there was no absence of CB Lane over a 10-year period, and that was a couple of years ago. and they said there was no absent data to provide a sustainable reason for refusing the application. They then went on to talk about off-site improvement, and that included the imposition of double yellow lines, so other improvement, off-site improvement. And they said, subject, this is a direct quote from Island Rose, subject to a separate traffic regulation application to be made by the applicant, and it cannot be guaranteed as part of the planning process. In the absence of such restrictions, this office would not be in a position to support proposals. And I can also say that actually, when the planning committee met in the December, when they did their second meeting, members of the planning committee actually queried the double yellow lines. It's actually minuted as such. And I remember what it was. It was actually Brian Tindall, and he was saying that they hadn't asked for such a major restriction on Bietta Green in St Helens when they were considering the Guildford Road, and he couldn't understand why. So it was always a bit of a dodgy one, and I think we always hoped that it wouldn't happen. Reggie always said they haven't consulted on it.
Mm.
And then the thing goes up, and Mark spotted it and told us that it was up there. And as you know, they failed abysmally to actually inform the parish council. Yeah. If it hadn't been for people with eager eyes, we wouldn't have known anything about it.
I did just on it.
Yeah, and so the time is ticking on. I'm aware that people who live in Nettleston Hill and Nettleston Green, particularly, park there. Not all the time, but most of the properties along there are either Victorian centres, and they've probably got room for one car outside the front of their house, or they haven't, because not everybody has.
No.
Or there's some old cottages, opposite me there's old cottages. And so people, if they've got visitors or whatever, and it's a bit full on those two lands, they do use CV Lane. Mm. They don't use CV Lane, they've got to go on to the estate. And I know that I've heard people complaining about it. We obviously suffer traffic at school time, but that happens everywhere. I live backing onto a school before I moved here.
Yeah. And we've got to send our kids to school, and we just have to put up with about 15
time.
Minutes
and
of
actually, yeah, I did notice ago. One day last week, I went down there and sort of picking up from school time, and it was heaving with parents and little children going and picking them up. They're supposed to be a car park on the site when they do the development, which I am very angry about, because it's actually outside the sideline. I think it's unbelievable. They send out a plan with this blue line saying that the development's got to be on this side of the blue line, because so as not to impede the view, and then the car park is on the other side of the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And that was raised by the planning committee as well, nobody took any notice. So I think it is going to take away parking spaces. I reckon it's about 19 actually. If you walk all the way down there and count how many could be there, not all the time. There were quite a lot of people on the day Friday before they broke up, I took numbers, and there were about five that were still there on Saturday, so they were local residents.
Is it, when I drive up down the hill, there's always at least five cars up there at seven in the morning, so it's not people from at school.
No.
And so it's walkers with next door one. It's a lot of them staff too, actually, because they come and get in the car with
people. Well, that's what I was thinking on Friday, that they're not giving the staff. And one or two people that I've spoken to said, oh, well, if they're going to provide a car park for the staff, that'd be all right. So, well, no, it won't be, because as long as they've got room to park there, they've got room to park there. But you take that space away, and nobody can park there anymore.
Mm.
And that would be you, if you've got more people than you can accommodate on your land or whatever. Those people are going to go somewhere, and I suspect most of them will start off filling up even more, filling up Nettleston Green Road.
Well, opposite you, Trish, it's a relatively recent phenomenon, but they're all parking against that high wall, aren't they? And that pushes people over the road.
Yeah, and you think...
And that's going to happen all the time, then.
Supposing the co-op happens, you imagine what it's going to be like, and that's going to take people even onto the estate. I just think it's crazy. And as Barry says, it acts as traffic calming.
I think that's the other thing, as somebody local has said, that actually they said there have been no accidents. I think we should say that we think that part of the reason there have been no accidents is because it does act as traffic calming, and having done the yellow lines will increase the likelihood of accidents, going back to much faster because there is not that natural.
Former councillor Di Tusson was adamantly against having, because they wanted to put double yellow lines where she lives, you know, in front of
the corner, didn't they?
Well, they have to on the other corner, where the bus is, but well, I mean, that might have been a very fortuitous outcome, but I still think she was absolutely right.
I remember when we were getting the chicanes for John Duffer. And one of the reasons that the chicanes are in the place where they are and the parking spaces on the road are where they are is because the parking people said that they, in and themselves, with cars parked there, act like a chicane.
Slow stuff down.
Mostly the development itself. If you say 2 cars per house, 17 houses.
34 cars.
That's 34 houses. I don't know how you're going to stop them parking in that car park for their friends and just the staff.
Well, the houses should have parking for them, for the house as well, shouldn't it?
Yeah, but they won't have enough.
No, of course not. But I feel very strongly about it.
I am a little bit annoyed that people that you talk to, and I had a conversation with Mark just now, and he's come up against the same, that people say, what's the point? Some guy I was talking to...
What's the point of what? Objecting?
Yeah.
Right.
They'll do it anyway. They don't take any notice. Well, my argument to that is if you don't object...
They will anyway.
So yeah. I would urge anybody who's here, please... I mean, we are trying the petitioning thing because we think that some people just won't be bothered to write a letter. But I think the more letters they get, the better it will be. Because I do think it... It's just unfair. I mean, the whole thing is unfair. People who live around there don't want the development. Mm. And now they're getting a double whammy because they're having a party taken away as well.
And of course it's going to make it even more difficult at school time.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you've got 4 or 5, you said there's about 5 cars parked there, but you get another 4 or 5 and just bring the corner into Rowan Tree, they're recycled quite quickly, aren't they?
Yeah.
But
the other lines cause more trouble than anything else.
They're a blunt instrument.
You've got to do that.
You're suggesting that we write with these objections.
And the double line for climbers, the double yellow line stops at Allen House. So it's in a bend. So if people are parking actually in front of our property in a bend, this is a strong accident because you can't look in and we can't come out of the
place. Yeah. Whereabouts are you exactly?
Allen House.
Where's that?
Right, okay, yeah, I know. Yeah, 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 y
hour drive, you certainly will not be able to come in and out if everyone's parking.
Are they all going to write in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you know Bob Donald? He must be your neighbour. Very close. He's further down. Oh, well, that's right, okay. Well, he lives in a house called the White House.
Right.
And he really ought to moan, didn't he? Have a complaint. Kevin?
Yeah, can I just come in there? I think it was
two councils ago that a proper survey was done. You know the 20 mile an hour limits have been considered? And a thorough job was done by council at that time with proposals on introducing 20 mile an hour limits, going down CV Lane for example. And the argument against that was purely A, there'd been no accidents, as you've reported there, and that's when that other survey was done along Eddington Road, which said no accidents and there was no speed that was clocked was below 30 miles an hour, the average speed down there. And the reason that the 20 mile an hour limit wasn't adopted was for the reasons that Becky was alluding to there, which was saying that with the parking that goes on down there, there's a natural barrier to speed.
Yeah.
And that's why the 20 mile an hour limit wasn't adopted.
And then they've taken it away. They've taken that barrier away. We're trying to.
I'm sure you've got a copy of this. It's a really thorough report. The whole.
That was fairly recently, wasn't it?
I think it was.
2 years ago?
About 6 years ago.
It'd be a lot longer than I've been here two and a bit. It wasn't before my time.
Because I seem to remember they did it. Well, I seem to remember
before 2013 then.
It was in John's time.
Well, the reason I say that I thought it was more recent than that because it came up during the original hoo-ha over the Didwell Field development, and we all felt at the time that the time of the year that they did it was something like January or February. Do you remember this, Philip?
I think that was wasn't that leading up to the school. I think you're remembering the one that's from leading up to the school on that road rather than.
But anyway, they did it at an inappropriate time. I mean, what traffic is there January and February compared with the summer?
Can I just say the scheme they set out with the details for the bus stations, that sort of thing, for instance, indicates that they are going to be rubbing up and removing Holland Hedgerow as well.
This is something I actually.
What, where the bus stop is now?
Further on. So part of the development will require them to remove quite a large section of hedgerow.
Right.
Because
at the moment you jump into a gap they've cut out of it, don't they? Yes.
You see, I was quite shocked when Brian sent this out alongside the Island Road plan because this has never been discussed. They're talking about putting. Pedestrian crossing on the bit, the short end of the triangle, and having a walk way through onto the field there. They say it's going to be a public open space. They've got quite a lot of things. None of this has ever been consulted with.
No.
And at the same time, they send out this plan, which doesn't show any of that at all. And that's the one where the blue line goes up there and the car park is on this side of the blue line. So, are we? What is going on with this? I mean,
are they trying to put a pedestrian crossing in the weather of the mask, is there?
They said this out, Joe. Have a look at that. Nobody's been told about that.
But these are all alternative proposals brought about by the fact that the original Gibwell Field, correct me if I'm wrong, was where Di Tucson is, and that five bar gate that's opposite her, you're going to come up Nettleston Hill and straight into the estate, or you could turn right. And the other alternative, they were going to close that road, weren't they?
That was when they were going to put the road right the way through to join Nettleston Hill with CV Lane.
That's right. Yeah.
So that was the original plan.
That's right. But that got
way before any of the plan that you were discussing.
Yeah.
This one's from April 2018, so I wonder if this is just out, but it's really hard to read.
This one was actually sent out, this was on the Gibwell Field application site, January. It was approved in the December, and this one came out in the January. It was on there then.
So what are we doing?
It sounds like overwhelming support. Oh, I might not have been paying attention. No, I'm joking.
You're such a bonker.
So, Becky, you did say something about writing letters.
No, sir, it's the proposal that we write in an objection. Who are we writing to?
We have that information. We do have it. The Scots, isn't it? It's on the original thing. He's a chap called Scott Heddy, yeah. And we've got the contact details for where I send our objection to. And it's just the form of words, if you are.
So we're objecting.
What you want to do, you want to forget Scott Heddy, right to Phil Fjord.
Copying
Scott. Scott. So Phil Jordan, the first point of contact.
He's the council, the cabinet member for it.
He's the only reason we got any response from him at all, because I spoke to Phil, the president, because I said it's unacceptable that we've not had any correspondence from the RRA.
So they're responsible to Phil Jordan and Scott Healy.
There's no concern with at all.
No, Chris is right.
And because last year, with COVID, their excuse was people were moaning, there were no signs on the lamppost. And their excuse was to COVID.
Yeah.
Well, this year, when they don't consult, they stick the note on the left.
Yeah, they're formulating a response, an objection. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the more objections, the better.
It's an observation, and there is no evidence, although I'm sure somehow I could find someone. I'm sure Councillor Rogers would vouch for this as well. There is absolutely no doubt that when that road is clear of traffic, people zoom up and down there
at
tremendous speed. Yep. You can hear them all evening.
Yeah. Well, I had this conversation with Brian earlier.
Yeah, but the hill's the same. When
about
when it's red,
you know,
yeah.
Where Dietuson is along that bit there. When there's no traffic there,
you know, the rare occasions Nelson Hill's empty, you can tell sitting in my front room, it sounds like Brands Hatch.
Yeah,
so that's just, yeah.
So that needs to be part
of it. Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Very. Yeah. And I think we should include the fact that we feel that it's that nobody has considered it properly, because to stop the double yellow lines on a corner where people are then going to start parking would make it even more dangerous. That's another thing.
Crazy.
I think we should put all that in. I thank you for pointing that out to us.
Frankly, the zebra crossing where the cars is, it's got to be the most irresponsible.
Oh, that's madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not actually in its order, though, is it?
No.
A big mistake before come up the hill. He must have been doing 60 miles an hour, and he turned left round by that green.
Yeah.
I heard him hit the accelerator when I was cutting the grass, and I looked around him, and this 4x4 just went from nothing to and ran it. You know, it's not the right place for a crossing.
The only advantage of it where they put that shot, they didn't have to cut down the mast.
Possibly.
Brian, could we actually? It's not part of this order. We can only make comment on what we think about this order. But because the guy sent
they did.
This plan,
yeah.
Is it possible for you to actually add to him as from the side and say the parish council has noted that the plan went in? There has been absolutely no consultation with the parish council about the issues on that plan. You know, is that something that is going to come later, or what?
Well, I'll certainly ask that question. I'll say, it's noted that there's a crossing in the plan, and when will we be notified of this being introduced?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. You see, one thing I'm a little bit concerned about was we made a lot of fuss about the fact that it was an outline application. And I remember Paul, Lynn's husband, who actually helped us with objections, and he was very surprised it was an outline application. And I noticed when we had the Eddington Road presentation, and Dave said about outline, and the guy said, oh no, it's not a big enough site for outline. And I thought, well, that's weird, because Gibraltar is smaller.
Mm.
But then David Barry and I went on this sort of planning training thing that I walked it, and one of the things that came out was that there's a longer period. If you put in an outline application, you have 3 years to get the reserved matters sorted and then 2 years to deliver, whereas if for a normal application it's 3 years, that's what he told us. And so it began to make sense. And then I realised that what we were going to be faced with, rather than what I innocently thought would be a new application with all the detailing, I have a horrible feeling that they're just going to come in with a little bit here and a little bit there, like let's put in a zebra crossing here and perhaps we'll do something there. So it's not going to, there's not going to be any cohesion of actual consultation about what we're really getting there, and I am quite concerned about that. I don't know how we start that.
I think this happened with Britain though, when at one point in time three,
there were three planning applications. Yes, Dave just said, if you put in there that at this meeting, just for the stereo resolution, and that there were residents here that had not been consulted, and they don't know what to say.
Yeah. Are we able, Dave, to actually put up a marker about that?
Well, what I'd like to do, I think what we need to do, I'd like to put on this letter that we would like some consultation.
Yeah.
We need consultation. Now, they haven't even had the decency to approach us properly.
No.
And I've just made a note here, invite Phil Jordan there. I'll try and get Phil Jordan down and Scott Hiddy here, because they need to be here when we're talking like this.
Mm.
There needs to be some consultation. We've got the people that live on the corner, near the bend, and I agree, when I looked at the plan, I know the walled garden, because I know the people who live there. And I thought the same thing. I thought, that doesn't seem right. They're stopping the lights out, but what about the bend?
Mm.
I don't know any accidents, but again, there won't be, because the cars are further around the corner. But that's going to change. All those dynamics are going to change, aren't they?
Mm.
So can I tell you what I've got so far? So it's an objection, and the first part of it is, as the accident-free nature of Seaview Lane is due to cars being parked there, and this will be removed by the addition of double yellow lines, the placement of the lines will drive traffic further down onto the bend on Seaview Lane opposite Fairy Hill, which is a black spot. Drive parking.
Can you mention the fact that a recent survey for 20 miles per hour, it was Island Road, was it, who actually said that the parked cars slowed down the traffic in Seaview Lane?
That's Parish
Council. It was Parish Council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it stated that the parked cars slowed down the traffic.
Sorry, Kevin, was it the Parish Council that instigated the 20 mile an hour and then it all went...
Yeah, there was a survey done because the government released the opportunity to go
at
20 mile an hour speed.
Yeah.
So the obvious way to get into the hill going down Seaview Lane. And there are certain other aspects in terms of putting in WL lines and stuff like that.
This gentleman just wanted to say something.
When the proposal came before the council, it was decided in the end that actually, because of the parking, both along Eddington Road, which was proved by a survey at that time, which was done at busy times.
Right, okay.
But for obvious reasons, the amount of cars that have to slow down versus the idiots that are driving through far outweighed them. And so the average speed was 28 miles an hour on Eddington Road.
Yeah.
So it was decided on that. And also, coming down into Seaview Lane, and obviously it's got worse at the bottom end than it was in those days, because people didn't used to park much on the left hand side, whereas now they do. And it is a chicane, effectively, which obviously slows the traffic down, which is what we discussed with the council at that time. Those proposals were rejected on that basis.
Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something on behalf of my neighbour. He's the one who raised all of this. He lives in 3 and 4 Leon Ross Cottage, 3 and 4 Ferry Hill. He has a small holding that's in front of Ferry View, that's down the hill. There's an entrance at the end of that bend to get into that small holding.
Yeah.
He's always going in and out there with trailers. If you have all the displaced traffic put on that corner, you think he won't be able to get in and out of his small holding with trailers.
Yeah, we've received those.
And he's put an objection in writing. He's already done that, I think.
To Island Road?
Yeah.
Because their argument, of course, is that they need to improve the splay at the entrance to the Gibwell Field development. Well, of course, they're taking his way
yeah.
by putting that on there, aren't they?
That's the thing. They're trying to solve a problem that isn't there at the moment by actually making more of a problem for other people.
Yeah. He's going in and out of trailers, so it's quite a lot of space.
Yeah, yeah. And he needs to be able to see what's coming.
Thinking this through, the other thing that would happen is if the cars are parked further down the road around the hill, I mean, not that we want them to be coming out of this lane, which is totally inappropriate, but cars coming out of Gibwell Field would have cars coming up on their left-hand side on the wrong side of the road because they're coming round parked cars, and you don't automatically think that that's going to be the case if you turn left.
No.
Yes. Speaking of somebody who's had an accident, because not here, but exactly because of that, somebody coming overtaking
us. Another part is residents have addressed the council to let the council know that they have not been consulted about the placement of these calming measures outside their homes, as well. So there's another form of the objection.
It's not a calming measure.
It's officially called a traffic calming measure, isn't it?
Really?
No, it's traffic regulation.
Oh, traffic regulation.
It's not a calming measure. Yeah. I should say put the sleeping policeman's day there. Yeah. A calming measure.
I just
come in
and say, did you say something about
headroom
in?
Yeah, it's on that
plan, Joe.
That's not. It's not really part of the.
Yeah, it's not on there. No.
Although we are going to ask.
Yeah.
To explain the extra one which suggests about the hedgerow and the pedestrian.
You know where the entrance to Gibwell is?
Isn't there a new hedgerow protection?
Can you find one?
Write
one. Better than that, write one.
Make one, that'd be easier.
Sure.
I mean, the reason that is necessary for parking is because. Houses in Nettleston Hill and Nettleston Peak have insufficient parking for the residents as well as their visitors. There's also pressure at school time with parents, and the removal of a substantial number of car parking spaces, I think about 19 will just displace first of all onto Nettleston Green, and then subsequently onto the estate, because there isn't going to be enough room in Nettleston Green to cope with it.
No.
Also on the main road in Nettleston, actually, it's probably going to end up being people parked on both sides of the road.
Yeah,
okay.
That is actually. It is called that's a problem, it is Nettleston Green.
Okay.
Our road is Nettleston Green.
Is it?
Yeah. But guys, we've still got quite an agenda to get through. Can we.
Why say that people already park on the estate? Because they get through the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That back estate road is already completely
aware. Well, I think one of the things that's going to happen, whether we put double yellow lines there or not, people are going to park on them because it's only just, I'll only be there 5 minutes, Gus.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's going to happen. And of course, they're probably going, yeah, we'll have some of that as well,
yeah.
You know, for the parking tickets. But
so I believe there's a proposal to object by writing to Phil Jordan and copying in Scott Healy, and to object on the grounds, one of them is to do with the traffic calming brought around by having the cars parked already. Second part is how the placement of the lines actually drive parked vehicles further down onto the bend opposite Fairy Hill. Then there are residents who have actually said they don't feel consulted, and there are houses in Nettleston Hill, Nettleston Green, have insufficient parking already, and combined with the school traffic that turns up on a daily basis, the potential removal of up to 19 spaces will be hard felt by the community. Mm-hmm. And there will be evidence, plus we'll have a question asking about the potential crossing and hedgerow removal that seems to be included. Well, I think that goes at the bottom of it as a question. It's not part of the objection, it's just a question.
Because it is on that plan.
It's the same people I'm going to ask, so, and on that question. That's a proposal to have those objections and that question.
So, who's proposing that? You?
Okay,
second?
Yeah.
All in favour?
Right, carried. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. Right, a community speed watch while we're on it. Dave.
Right, your light is back.
Funny enough, I was looking at the arches yesterday. Yeah. They've got one on there.
We've got to defer this because there's no funding.
No, okay. So we're going to withdraw that one then.
Yeah.
Okay. Trish, Parish Neighbourhood Plan Working Group.
Oh, right.
You were going to report back, weren't you?
I set up, I think we have a meeting
prior. We're all here, aren't we?
Yeah. We're all here, yeah.
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 But we've got to inform the others.
Yeah, so basically we had a meeting and we have a look at all the papers that came out.
Thank you for coming. You have objected, haven't you?
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
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 We will do.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean basically there was quite a lot. We had a look at everything. We scanned everything anyway, the action plans, and we were very much aware that some of the stuff is out of date. Some of it has not been regarded by the island plan anyway. And we felt that it was important to look at the option of a neighbourhood plan, but in the first instance, because we need to re-look at what is relevant within the existing plans, is to perhaps concentrate on green spaces. Because you can actually get this, you can do a partial neighbourhood plan, which you can get grant funding for, which would actually highlight all the green spaces that were relevant. So you're talking about Hersh, you're talking about Sir Alston, you had a big plan of around
starting at the Putpool, all the green space, all the way.
The football field, so all these areas, which we can actually get probably done. If we can get that done, we can probably get it done quite quickly. If that goes through the whole process and it goes through to an inspector who accepts the ones that you're there, then it does actually protect those spaces for the future. And they will be removed, they won't be targeted in any way. They've got to fit a criteria, they've got to be public spaces, they've got to be used by people, they have got to be part of the village or whatever. But that was a recommendation that we thought at the moment, because you can always expand on it at a later stage and move into another neighbourhood plan. But concurrently with that, we felt that then there was a need to look at the current house plan, which a lot of people have said has got to be, you know, wanted to be put forward as an SPD, but it's going to have to be, by the time the island plan comes out in 2023, it's going to be really nearing the end of its time anyway, so it's going to have to be made sure that is actually sufficient, and either do it in conjunction with the neighbourhood plan or whatever, but that's something that we need to look at for the future. But in the meantime, the group felt we ought to perhaps accelerate on and
protect the green spaces. So,
if you like, you could resolve to actually follow, because before you'd already resolved that you put the money aside, and that we've got the money reserved for a neighbourhood plan, and now you could resolve that we're going to engage with a partner such as it's Troy, isn't it? It's one of the potential ones.
Well, they're the ones I know, but I think we have to go out.
And actually take the next step and try and engage
What are we calling this? The green option, isn't it? Something
I can't remember what we discussed. It's actually a neighbourhood plan, but it's green spaces.
Green spaces, that was it. Yeah. Because that's the quickest thing to do.
Yeah.
So,
Could I just ask a question? Is there any mileage in trying to get them to adopt the draft supplementary planning document as a pro-town measure, because this is going to take you quite some time. And I am reminded that the only supplementary planning document that we have got relates back to the parish plan that was written in 2004, and the attempt to put in a draft supplementary planning document was to at least bring it up to 2016, and now we're 2021.
I would say that was not one of the recommendations that came out of the working group. It's not that it's a problem doing that, and that's something we've done several times while I've been the clerk, and we can do it again over and over again. So we can keep doing that.
I think there have been recent letters, haven't there? Been feeling about that. But I think the message that's come back correct me if I'm wrong, is that it would be associated with the new island plan when it comes out. So it seems to me that your timing is difficult because you have to have something which it has to gel, doesn't it? And you're never going to gel unless it's done alongside the island plan. That's always going to be the difficulty.
We were told that
there
it's quite a good time to do it with all what's going on with the push for the biosphere in it. So it's quite a good time to try and protect the green spaces. We might not get another chance to put it different.
The supplementary planning document that the parish council signed up for has an enormous amount in it about those green spaces.
Yeah.
It was the prime push for it. And all I'm wondering is, since it's still on somebody's shelf, perhaps we could remind them that it's still there.
Lovely. I think the reason
I could do my regular shower. Monthly emails to Lolly where he then says we haven't got resources to look at it.
I think. Okay, then.
Nothing that they had at the moment would be adopted. All that they've had for forever, like ours, would be adopted before they finished the draft island plan. So I think using what you've all done as the basis, the starting point for updating the idea, and that's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, it is. But the green spaces is very specific because I've been going through this process elsewhere, and you find your actual sites, you actually get people to write in and say what use they've had of it, historic use, etc, etc. And then that goes through quite a big consultation process. And it has to go eventually to referendum. But once it's there, those plans, those green spaces are proper preserved, they're designated, it's gone through such a big process.
Can I just bring Kevin in? He's going to make a contribution.
Yeah, I'm just going to clarify what you're saying. So it sounds to me from the criteria that it wouldn't fit people of the natural stone.
Or the dolphin.
Yeah.
It would fit the dolphin.
Yeah.
No, because it's not used.
There's always a problem about retrospectively trying to put green space designation on someone that already has a plan.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can I read what it says? Because it comes out of the MPPS.
Yeah.
Where the green space is reasonably in close proximity to the community it serves, where the green area is demonstrably special to a local community and holds a particular local significance, for example, because of its beauty, historic significance, recreational value, including as a playing field, tranquility or richness of its wildlife.
Yes. Okay, so it doesn't have to be.
And where the green area concerns, local in character is not an expensive tract of land.
So the tract between
my view of it was actually start at Puckpool Fort, and you have Puckpool Fort, the bit before where the Ben Ainsley's house is, or whatever, that bit there. Then you go on to the nature reserve, then you go up to the allotments, and you Sophie Watson's garden, cross over to the recreation ground, the farmer's field, and the donkey field, and down into Priory. That to me is one long green line.
I agree.
That's what I would like to try to protect. Hello.
Just a question. The top of the question, so as long as you all know, if you do get a grant, a lot of the work in terms of concentration and that kind of stuff, or the simulation, it will be dealt with already. We're not.
So they got you. What you're saying is they basically got a template,
yeah.
And they just nail the bits on it that we want. No. Okay. Right. So can we have a proposal for
to move ahead with the green spaces neighbourhood?
Yeah. Okay. And a seconder, please. Okay. All those in favour.
No, I'm staying because David Long uses it.
Well, it was enough to get it through anyway. Okay, so Southern Water, Dave.
It's again, we've covered it.
Yeah.
It's, okay.
We did really.
Yeah, we've
covered
it.
Okay.
Well, all is since the last meeting as well. I walk. Like they said have taken things forward themselves, haven't they? They've engaged with Bob C. Yeah. They've been. Yeah. So there's all that sort of.
Okay. Well, a very important item here, Becky. Parish flooding.
Yeah. Becky was a person kind enough when Joe brought it up last time. She was one kind of say, can we stick it on the agenda?
Okay.
So since last week, Councillor Adams actually took it forward with the Isle of Wight Council,
right.
And with a little bit of help from me, because it was difficult to work out who to direct this to, and I found out it was Ollie Bolkenian, because he's not down as the owner of the current flood risk management thing, but it turns out he is. It's just because it hasn't been updated for a while. And he welcomed, we sent the information that Joe provided here, talking about protecting Sultan's Dover Springvale area, sorry, getting them included in the plan. And he also did say that the Isle of Wight Council were looking at consulting with everyone affected, and that's happened since, hasn't it? And they sent out that form asking people to fill it in. Yeah. So
does that mean I'm going to put a line through this item?
Well, it depends whether you guys would like to submit it in your own names as well. It's already been done through the ward councillor, and
right.
The response from Ollie Bolter was, thank you, we are going to consider it and bring it in. This is very useful, and there's going to be a consultation for the whole island as well, because I think there's a lot of areas that have probably flooded this year that they hadn't flooded before.
Yeah.
From I'm guessing.
As many reports as we can get.
Yeah.
Could I also just say that the search that's gone out, that's just for individual households to fill it, and those people on their Facebook. This is not in any way asking people about the general problem, which I think the parish council should be reminding the council.
Joe, in your mind, I mean, we've seen flooding where it was really bad at the bottom, you know, because of the old entrance to the harbour, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hundreds of years ago, whatever it was. But they put a new culvert under there, didn't they, some time ago?
What happened was an enormous amount of work and effort and money went into building a seawall. The seawall, if you remember, is a flood defence.
Yeah.
And
from the other side.
And the consequence is that the seawall to stop the water to stop the sea coming in stops the rainwater
going
out.
Going
in. And right. That's what we are trying to deal with.
But it's also washing a load of stuff down, I think, isn't it?
We've been used to flooding in winter.
Mm.
But Michael Neal's family has lived in Chequers on the Dover.
Yeah.
But Michael's lived there for all of his life, 75 years. Nobody can ever remember summer flooding. And I was saying to Brian, the winter flooding of 2012, that was because they cut the fields and didn't remove the vegetation. So when the reserve inundated, all of that vegetation came out and it acted like a flood, like a haystack.
Right, okay.
So what happened in the summer, on the 2nd of August, this time, was that in 2 hours, without any of that vegetation, the reserve was full. The water was right up to the top of the ministerial bed. And that was, yes, in 2 hours. And we had a neat tide, and the tide was going out. So everything was in our favour.
Mm.
If it had been the tide coming in, and if it had been the spring tide, I can assure you, Pond Lane, End of Ferry Road, Pruitt, that would have all flooded.
Right.
We're looking at it.
Weren't in place, we'd have been in the opposite, we'd have been in serious trouble.
We need to include that.
Yeah,
well, okay.
Well, what I'd say is Joe has kindly given us a smorgasbord of information here, which we can use.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know. I am as well. I think that's why that word came to my mind.
Yeah.
A curry of information. No. So we've basically got the. Guess what I'm having dinner. So we've basically got all this information from Joe, which I'm happy if you are all happy to extract most of that in the official letter to Ollie on behalf of the parish council. So. Thank you.
Okay, someone
sorry, part of the problem there, Joe, with Keith Gordon's is this is from your planning and your groundwork experience, but if, when you look at the sighting of the house, the position of the house, unfortunately for Keith, the way his drive goes, he's got no natural runoff even down to the dumber.
Yeah, still
because the house is in a. Well, it does, I know they do, but what I'm saying is that. It looks like the position of those houses there, they're a little bit prone to it, because if we're going to get heavy rainfall like that, they're always in that little dip.
They're in that pond.
So that's something, and I noticed that new one, the Art Deco one they've built down there, they've actually raised it off the ground, haven't they?
Yes, they've raised it up.
They've built funding work around it, haven't they?
So,
I think what we're trying to say is that... up to now we know we've got a problem, we're aware of it, we've got pain, everybody's done pain, you know, women's got a pump, some people's got to go forward and things like that. But the environment agency accepts that we're going to get new and we're going to get more intense rains. So this is something we've got to look at to try and mitigate for down the line. And Keith and I agree, Keith's been talking about this ever since Tesco, the very first test application. Where you have development at the top of the valley,
the runoff.
Where if you don't put, you know, because what they're saying with these intense rains, it doesn't matter how many mitigated, what they call studs, what do they call them?
They
don't
call them
studs, The rain comes down so fast, the surface water just comes down. They are of no
use,
So the old way of sort of, you know, flood risk management through the planning system really needs looking at very seriously now. Because anything more up the valley from right the way up to Brading Road and all the way along to St. Helens ends up down on the valley.
Yeah, it is a worry.
From the
and that's without the runoff for the proposals of West Acre Farm.
That place is crazy. That's the other thing about this.
That will be your biggest problem, West Acre Farm. It will flood to you.
Yeah. So I think what the rest would feel is that this problem really should be picked up by the environment agency.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the Arbor
but it was Southern Water at the Umperbake West Acre, wasn't it? They said that because at the bottom of it, of course, it's right on our parish boundary, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then they need to put proper ditches in there, and apparently there's been some mitigation in the plan, which Southern Water seems to have accepted, but I don't know what it is. Right, moving on.
Oh, well, yeah, so you're going to...
Becky proposed
it. Yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah.
And a seconder, please. All those in favour?
Hang on.
Okay, right. Get there. Right, this item is age-friendly island, and Kevin kindly dropped us a little... Put it in the hand, look. A leaf each and everything. And I'm hoping he'll be able to reprise us of... what it's all about.
The first part is the charter.
That's right.
This
and
one
the
here.
Second part is the other bit.
Yes, and we're also proposing that we adopt the age-friendly charter.
That's right, and discuss endorsing the pavements for hope, people.
Yeah.
Kevin.
But for the first part,
The first bit, which is age-friendly hour, was to bring you up to date with what's happening right now. It's been running 7 years.
Cool,
isn't it? And my role now, in age-friendly hour, is that I'm chairing a new old person steering group for the army, which we put in place just over a year ago now, to lead the age-friendly agenda going forward, facilitated by AGK, right? The Sustainable Principles Council, and the National Centre for Aging Better, which is the Rockford funding area, from whom we've received £7 million so far during the 7 years. Our current projects are environment, the major staff project, which is favours to the people, which you have in front of you, employment of the over 50s, which is in its third year running throughout the Isle of Wight County Council and all their employees, of which, by the way, 45% are over 50. atrial surgeries, which has been national now for 3 years, that's now been updated. And locally, we're also looking at trying to get the surgeries to be their practice patient groups because of this disconnect that you all probably feel now between doctors and their patients, which we want to try and rectify again. And lastly, digital inclusion, which brings us to the charter, because you'll see in the charter now that we've just added one box on digital inclusion, which I'll go into later. And the idea of that is that the current charter members, of whom there are over 40, will include it as I'm proposing today, but also use the logo, etc., for businesses and that just want to show that they are digitally friendly as people. So the logo that you see now on the front of you can be used on websites and that to show people that, that's the case. We now have a Freshwater Parish Councillor George Cameron, representing our speaker on IWOC today, you probably have him.
Yes.
And also we have representation, which is myself, on the Peace and Crime Commission's Older Persons Panel, which is just coming forward now with her 5-year plan, on which our influence, which is an absolute shock to me, is that scams are the biggest concern for all the people, second behind having a police presence. But as a crime, that is the number one crime that's feared by all the people to use them up. So that is right up on their agenda now. That's really good. We're also on the island's wellbeing board, which brings together the NHS Social Care and Clinical Commissioning Group. And you may have heard that we've got exceptional in the latest report on Mary's Hospital. That's the area that came out exceptional, which is the community area. So it's a great thing. Our aim is to set the order person to bring the army through those various bodies already mentioned above. And our latest opportunity, I'm meeting with the Chamber of Commerce, and we hope that they're going to lead us with the over 50s in work. So that's my turn to hang on again about parish demographics. What I really love about this council is you're enthusiastic about planning. And I think we've gone through probably a couple of hours of that as well. And I just like some of that enthusiasm put into what is an even bigger problem in our parish, which is our demographics. And I say this each time because I'm hoping that they're just going to fit in there forever for you. So our makeup is likely to be confirmed at 60% of rural parishioners being over 60 and over 50% being over 70 when the latest census is actually confirmed. If you just carry forward the 2011 census figures to what it's going to look like now, that's my calculations, if you like, on where they're going to be. They're going to be around about those things, which is scary, really.
I think during the pandemic, Kevin, you worked something eight like that, didn't you? Because we got 86% second homes in the parish, which is extremely high, which only leaves 14%. And of those 14%, I think you said something like 50% were over 70, which puts a huge, of like 1,300 people, there's a huge amount of them are already vulnerable, just by demographic here. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. We also had the highest single over 90s in the country.
Yeah.
And we had the fourth highest longevity, which shows you that we're doing a lot of things right for the people.
Yeah. So don't put W on
the line. The level of support and kind of care. Why we brought up payments 3 years ago to the council, which is when I brought it up originally, took it over to the council. It just shows the importance of those kind of things. They're going to become more important. The support in our seniors project that I led for the community partnership for 5 years was completed 3 years ago with the second half of the Nettleton Sit and TV shape, which I'm happy to say, as Becky announced there, that this workshop was actually opened last Friday, which is fantastic. I also handed over my role as the 820 champion to Sally Rivlin, who I understand can't actually be here tonight, And I was expecting her to be.
Joined the choir. She joined the choir.
So I understood so that my poor Becky that has not been brought up to speed with everything. So what I'm going to undertake here and now in my new role is I shall update you as well as Sally and everything, because I probably won't be coming to these meetings in this capacity.
So are you happy to do that in reports then?
Yeah.
Well, so you'll feed Becky, and Becky can feed us.
Yeah. I share all this stuff with Sam. Sam share.
Right. Okay.
Partnership.
Sorry, Kevin. Yeah. Joe, did you find your bit of wood?
Sorry.
It's all right. No, I suddenly thought I hadn't heard from you, and I wondered if you paid it. It's okay. That's all right. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, the two groups working together, as has been the case all the time, my involvement with the both yourselves and the community partnership. By sounding out what the current population needs, as we did 7 years ago now, to get that into the annual plan. And it's also covered in the parish plan and the age-friendly charter, which was signed up to originally. Mm. So I've done that really to give a bit of background to most of those that weren't here when the age-friendly island project was launched 7 years ago. So that's where we are. So the two decisions, which obviously I'll have to hand over to Becky, the first one of which is obviously we'd like to readopt
the age-friendly charter.
Mm. Yep. So, are you going to propose that, Becky?
Yeah,
this is. Okay, someone second it? Maybe second that. And all those in favour?
Carried. There we go. Okay.
Can I just ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
There was a workshop held on the 25th of September, which was a bit odd, actually. It was dealt with by IWARC, which is our association. And they were asking for parish councils. It was a workshop on community resilience to actually look into the pluses and minuses of the community hubs that were set up over the pandemic period. We were invited to send somebody, but there wasn't anybody on the parish council who had actually been involved in what has happened. And I know you were going to try and get Sally to go, weren't you?
No, Sally wasn't one of the people.
Was it she?
No. No, it was Filmer, Busy and Di.
Right. We struggled a bit to get somebody to go. We've got a copy of their report. Is this something that your group would have been involved with?
Well, we were involved originally in setting up the idea of having hubs through the parish councils and town councils.
Yeah.
So we had a meeting of all of the charity organisations, the council, the NHS, etc. Literally, believe it or not, the day before the whole shutdown happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we just managed to get a meeting around the table in Riverside with all those, and that's when we pushed the fact that the way it should roll out is through town and parish councils. So that all the information was coming back through that way all the time.
Mm.
And then I think Bob latched on to it to get involved in the other the resilience hub and one of the others. I can't remember.
Just a little, she would have been here tonight. We actually do have a resilience coordinator now for the northeast of the island, Lucy. She came to this before. Lucy Nicholas, and she's on holiday this week, but she'll probably come to the next meeting and get it. So we do have an official.
Yeah, I just felt a bit concerned that we had sort of missed out on that workshop, and there were quite a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got to then decide on the part two of this idea.
Yeah, this is Sally had written to us all and said she is going to be doing walk arounds, and this was more or less to see whether she could find volunteers to go on the walk arounds with her, walking around the paved and stuff, and then when you find things, following the guidance in here to report whatever you find. And so it's to do with that, whether you're. And that's the sort of thing, if you were in support of it, I could advertise it on the website and put it out in social media, all those sorts of things, and try and get people engaged.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we need to carry, what was it, to work with the Queen's Partnership to walk parish pavements with a view, in the view for pavements for people. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it, which is what we're saying. So that was the other part that Kevin was hoping
to be a resolution. Well, I think we should support that. I mean, there's other things we could do, and I mean, we could would you like to walk the pavement on all of our notice boards? You know, like if we propose this and
we could advertise on the notice boards
on the website,
indeed, yeah,
the beacon or whatever it is that comes out every so often.
At the same time, see if they need and any trees need GPOs on
them. Yeah, yeah, you could suck it all in, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So,
so if you were going to endorse it as we suggest, then we would go ahead and put our. For what it's worth, our weight behind it in terms of getting
that's all very heavy this evening, really. We're a couple of light. So, somebody want to propose that we do that? Mm-hmm. Becky, seconder? Okay, in favour?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Becky?
I'm just going to make a quick note.
Right? Okay. Festive Lights Working Group.
Yes, so the proposal for this year's Festive Lights is that we have the Latin Sea Fairy Bells being down on Sophie Watson's garden again. We have a big real tree on the green that the children seem to love, and that it's large enough that it is not environmentally unfriendly. That's what we worked out last year.
Yeah.
Brian.
It all gets turned into compost or wood chippings after. I can't remember which one it was now.
Yes,
it gets
big enough,
yeah.
They're big enough, they grow big enough in the first place to have an effect.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're composted. So, you know, I know we stopped having a tree because we felt it wasn't environmentally friendly, but we've stuck there. But the view now is that having one on Jefferson Green is much appreciated. As you said, that all the kids loved it.
Yeah.
And it did look lovely, and leaving the tree that's more vulnerable down to Sophie Watson's garden was a very good thing, because all we've got to pay for this year is a new pole, not a whole new thing, which would have happened if we'd left it on the green, where it would have been completely obliterated in those storms.
Yeah.
We do need to buy a new one for Eddington Road, and we're proposing something a little bit bigger, but of the same sort.
Still in the same position.
In the same position in Eddington Road.
Yeah.
The chap's checking out the lights on the churchyard to make sure in the churchyard. Just to make sure everything's all right. And we are having the group are just having a little discussion about whether or not there's a couple of other places in the parish where we might want to put some lights on trees that can be operated by batteries. All of which would be well within our budget. So that's where we are with things.
So just
with the lights that we had in the church, they were on their tree for quite a considerable time afterwards.
Are they still around? They're still, well, the chap's going to check them out.
They were very good. And
it was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They're still there, and as long as they work, and if they don't work, I would be saying to him, well, you didn't take them down.
Well, they're not going to work, are they? Christmas tree lights don't work next year.
He's actually,
you have to do something to them.
In the last couple of years, one thing, he's very, very ingenious, and he's actually good at resurrecting stuff when you think it's...
They will all be put up. They will all be up. They'll all be ready to go on the 1st of December. We haven't completely confirmed the cost of what we'll be doing this year, but it will be well within budget.
Yeah. So just to let people know, the budget we put aside was £3,000. I know the tree that I'm trying to set out with Shide will be up to £300. And then that leaves still £2,700, but which is, we spent £2,200 in total last year.
Yeah, and we're waiting to spend as much as that.
So there could be a proposal to delegate the expenditure, as long as it's within the budget, to me in consultation with you, which is what we did, because the timing's awkward.
It might
be
easier for us to, I mean, as I say, we need a new pole for the one, and he said that's not very expensive. He's giving me quotes, because of course there's not as much around as
They usually is this year, like with everything else. But a quote for the last year, we thought we were going to have to replace the tree in Eddington Road, but he managed to keep it going. But it says that's gone, so we're going to need a new one there. And
yes,
and we've got we own all the lights for the tree on green, and we own the lights for the churchyard.
Yeah.
It's just a question whether we might invest in some more lights, a couple more things of lights somewhere that which the group will make a decision on, but it won't be.
Becky Pondwell, that tree there, that
Pondwell, we don't. Pondwell,
they do their own thing.
Do their own thing on that.
Yeah,
corner.
They're going to do it again.
Pondwell don't want us to help.
Well, that's good because it looks very good. So.
Well,
I think that proposal then.
Yes, the proposal is to delegate the expenditure to the clerk in consultation with the working group as long as it's inside the budget of £3,000. So it doesn't go over the money that's agreed, it's done in consultation. So someone proposes it, someone proposes it. I think that proposal is seconded there, was that?
Can I second it?
Right, all those in favour?
Carry it there.
Okay.
Neil.
Santa, surely.
He dropped off some plastic baubles in the porch last year.
Those are being written. So we don't have to buy them. That's the only that I've already got.
Melanie in school, and she said that they're just Wednesday wellness group.
Oh, very good. Oh, great.
I'm going to fill them.
Yeah.
And I suggest they can do whatever they like, but I suggest they can put them on the tree, on the green if they want to, or somewhere in school.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
Oh, do the kids have hints under the tree any time on that?
They did last year. Really interesting because they did do it. They did it with year six last year because they didn't have a carol concert, but they probably, I don't know, they probably will again this year. They did. Year six did go and have a lovely sing along around it. And
I just filmed such a nice thing for the kiddies.
It was, yeah, it was. They actually had a proper nice thing around the tree, and I'm sure they'll probably do that again. The school loved it, and the children really enjoyed it.
So we've done that then. Remembrance wreath.
Will you be able to be in church to present it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, what's happened? Dave will have one from the Isle of Wight Council, and I think that we should have one from the parish council. Yes. Yeah. But we're going to tie in with Roy because Roy's got a little bit to do with Royal British Legion, so. You're going to do your little thing and we're going to all talk, aren't we?
Right, well, obviously we know what we're going to do. The situation is we haven't got people to do it with. British Legion is in a desperate state. We had 179 members about 3 or 4 years ago. And it's always good up to the pandemic. We don't know where we're up to at the moment because Jan Foreman is not very well. We lost our... best treasurer, and that was Jeff Ball, who's his guy. Carol, social services, I don't know what she's going to do. I've got money being thrown at me, pennies and all stuff like that. And we've got nowhere to, we haven't got a treasurer. So, the British Legion, and it's desperate we have. Do we want a British Legion? You know, because it looks to me like you want your British Legion because there's no one prepared to take it over. Jan's got in bad health. I tried to speak to her husband, and he's put all the stuff for the scouts put in Bembridge. I think that's where they keep everything. So, what are we going to do?
Well, it's one of those things where then potentially then you could let this item go until next month and find out if there is an organisation.
But
to
we don't want to be
money to
not. Be able to buy it.
The money for this isn't to buy it.
Yes, we could. The reason I brought up British Legion is because there is a plan for the Freemasons in Rye to join up outside of the Masonic Centre in John Street with the Royal British Legion and march to the Cenotaph or whatever it is.
I'll do that.
Why I wondered if you were doing that.
No one's informed me yet, so we've got to get some information.
Well, just so you know,
find out whether it is.
the last 2 years, I always make a check out for the Royal British, the Seaview Royal British Legion. So if they, if there's not, if it doesn't exist as an organisation to send, give the money to, it just makes it a bit awkward. I mean, you could still probably resolve to do it
for a nice dinner.
Can we just say yes to the question that's on here?
Yeah.
Yes, and leave you to sort out where you get it from and write a check.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In the past, I think what's happened is that we haven't given money.
Yeah, we don't buy a wreath normally. No, we don't buy a
wreath.
No.
We give, but a wreath appears.
So you laid one for me on my behalf last year, didn't you?
Well, yeah. We'll get one for me all of our cares.
Unfortunately, Reg Barry used to organise. Excuse me. Reg Barry used to organise this.
Yeah.
Forever and ever. And he isn't doing it, doesn't want to do it. Mm. We might not even have anybody stood on the corner now doing poppies, which is something we've always done in the village, always raised money that way. There isn't a situation where people want to give you money. They've got cars, you've got stuff on.
Well, I think Trish is right, we ought to just answer the question.
I agree.
Yeah. So just to clarify for everyone, because this is in May we lost our general power of competence, this is going to be, it's very exciting, this is going to be a Section 137 grant, and so as long as we feel that, because it, which is currently £8.41 per member of the electorate this year. Yeah, it's just right. Yeah, so as long as we feel at least 18 people will benefit from this, you can use this. And I think as there were 190 members at one time, I think you can suggest there will be enough members to justify that. Because what you have done for the last 2 years is contributed £150 to the Royal British Legion.
But that's,
so if you want to keep
that. As Chris says, that's not what we're discussing, though. We're just discussing whether we should get a wreath rather than make a contribution to the Royal British Legion.
Yeah, what can I do
to stop?
There's a situation where you may not have to get the wreath, Mickey.
Right. But
basically,
we should still get a wreath, regardless of whether it's the British Legion.
But we had an abundance of wreaths last year that weren't taken up, weren't used. They were dropped on Reggie's doorstep, and he was trying to give them here, get rid of them, take them back, send them back to where they came from.
In the church, though. We did have a wreath last year.
Yeah, of course you did.
So
it came from Reg.
Yeah.
Well, but that's what we're saying. It can come, if that's not possible, it can come from us, which is what we're
right. Okay.
And then we'll see if we need to make a contribution to the British Legion when you tell us what's happening.
Yeah,
I have a chat with Reg. He said the same as you just said, Roy. But what I've done, because of the timescales on it, I've just ordered one anyway. Because my view is, if the Legion hasn't got anywhere for us to put it, we can put one down if you have got them on.
Well, we might need two, and the one is for the death of the British Legion from CBU.
Well, we've got a memorial inside and outside.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, I think
and Ali will organise that, won't she? She'll organise the timings and stuff. I'll have to have a word
with her. There'll be a service.
Okay. Right. Should we just have a quick vote?
Well, hang on. So, I'm going to be honest. I'm completely lost onto what you're doing because the main part of this agenda item, and I know it's because I wrote it, was actually for about making a charity contribution. Okay. Well, to discuss and agree making a contribution to Remembrance Day wreath.
That's it.
The contribution is the money part, okay?
Right.
And it's a polite way of saying handing out money to people. We have the same one every single year.
Yeah.
And
you
say you normally give 150.
Yeah.
But you, if there is a cost, you obtain a wreath, make sure that you've got a wreath, whether it's a Buxty one through Dave or you have to purchase it from somewhere.
Yeah.
You get a wreath. You pay up to £150 for it.
Yeah.
If you don't have to pay, and there's an opportunity to give a donation to the British Legion, bring it back next time.
Right, so I'll second that, because we're going to be talking all night.
Right. Okay.
All those in favour?
Thank you.
Becky?
Well, it doesn't.
It won't, but that's the budget. Right, okay. Brian?
Okie dokie, correspondence.
Night, Lynn.
Okay. Thank you. Not a lot, actually.
That's good.
I've got the confirmation that they're looking at our tree preservation order. There, so there we go, that's exciting. I've got a couple of emails I don't need to go through because the people actually read out the contents of them earlier on in the planning section. And an appeal decision here, which was the land adjacent to Puckle House. This was, there'd been an enforcement notice served against them where there'd been inappropriate building going on, and they'd appealed against it and they'd lost their appeal.
That's the wall, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So that was that, so not that exciting, really.
Can we ask a question? Yeah. How is it that they're just going to look at tree preservation and eaten and looked at on the list by the policy people, and they actually, I think, admitted that you couldn't know what you did?
But all those trees down there have got tree preservation orders on there.
Yeah, those J oaks.
Yeah. No, these oaks haven't necessarily. All the other trees.
Oh, yes.
Down on there have. Yeah. So that area is protected.
Yeah.
And this is our request officially to have those protected as well.
Yeah.
And this is our notification that it's.
I just have a very horrible feeling because it's actually public land that they might say that they won't do it.
That tree, Philip, you were talking about, the one near me, that was just cut. I mean, I watched them do it. It was criminal. And Saturday morning,
you always stop them.
You can't stop them. We're bloody
okay. The point is,
those two men that talked tonight, Mike and Edward, and there's a few others, I had to withdraw from the group because of being on the Paris Council, and it could have been very difficult. So, but I have kept in touch, and they. Whilst there was no TPO on it, they still need a licence to take that tree down because of the yield of 5 square metres of wood, because of its diameter, and you can yield 5 square metres. That's right. The trouble was, what was slow in coming was the rebuke, because the chairman of the Forestry Commission is an old Etonian.
I'm surprised it didn't
enter
National
Press,
actually.
Well, it did.
It did.
Oh, it was a big thing in the Daily Mail, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It went through three newspapers.
But it's the law of diminishing returns, isn't it? People are going, oh, yeah. That's it. Right, sorry.
Yes, right. So next bit is receipt. You've all got. You can see a new format for receipts and payments because the accountancy system.
Well, I like the old way better.
Yeah. Well, there we go. There. Well, you can't stop progress. Very can't stop progress. But so there, you can see the receipts. But if it's okay for if the payments as per usual now, if you could have a vote to approve the payments as we should do every single month, if that's okay. That's the second vote.
That. Mm-hmm. Somebody second? In favour? Everyone?
Thank you very much. That's great. That means I don't have to cancel those online payments I set up for tomorrow now. That's really good. Thank you. That was,
What happens if they don't work right?
And we have got a grant application, which you may have all seen, from the Women's Institute.
Oh, yes.
For £42. This would also have to be section 137 because it's for a remembrance banner. So, but if you were in favour of it...
It's a good thing, because it's going to be generic.
Yeah.
The men's sheds have made the A-frame, and...
And this would only need about 8 people from the community to benefit for it to be an acceptable use of money as well, so that's good.
Five, actually, isn't it?
Are you proposing that one?
No, I want... Oh, sorry. Have you finished with the grants?
No.
This is a grant.
We're just going to vote the grant, Yeah.
So, have you got one from the Football Foundation?
No.
Right.
No. Who's doing that? Monday,
yeah. Right. Can I just say the reason why? What we wanted a grant for is not we've not got that sorted out yet, because basically we've got men walking football. It's become very good.
Yeah. I've watched a couple of, despite myself.
Right, okay. On Saturday, Peter Hall joined the football.
Did he?
He joined the football match at Brading where we were playing.
Oh, right, okay.
He told me that...
He's getting better now, isn't he?
Yeah. But he told me he thoroughly enjoyed it, and he's only just getting back in health.
Mm.
And he told me he scored 2 goals. Good old him. But he hadn't been up to any of the training sessions at the ground. We've had 3 training sessions up the ground. You've had 16 people there, 18 people there, 19 people.
Yeah.
Now, at the moment, they're oversubscribed. So I want a grant for them, but for what they want the grant for, they've not come to me yet to tell me what they want to do. So I can't say Mandy Elvis has declared that she's not going to fill one in until we know what they want.
Yeah,
so it will be for men in football. Okay.
Yeah. And if it's the walking football, it's people of a certain age, which is always a good thing to contribute to.
Yeah. So, well, it is a league, and it's gone through CB Football Club now. So.
Well, this whizzy guy, Martin Heather, he had something to do with the FA, didn't he?
Yes, he was on the education side,
all right,
which is good. So this shouldn't fall down like most things do. When you get something new.
Yeah. He's just joined us as a trustee on the pavilion.
Right, well, that's good. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Right, so when we get it in from Mandy then.
Shall we do the Women's Institute one?
Yeah. Okay, but thanks for your info, Roy. Okay. We'll look for it. Yeah.
So, was someone going to propose granting £42 to the Women's Institute?
Okay. All those in favour?
That's carried. Good. Great, thanks very much. I emailed you actually to our monthly income expenditure report. Were any questions about it? It's the one that looks like No.
Okay.
It's not that interesting, I'll be honest, but just in case, on the off chance that somebody.
Okay.
Well, that's the end of that then, I'm afraid.
Okay, Barry. Then. Starting with you, Becky, you've got anything to advise the council of?
No, I just wanted to say that if anybody else is planning to go to an environment and sustainability board, because I'd be happy to do that.
Sorry,
if
everybody else is doing it as well, that seems a bit mad.
I normally go
on
it, but... Okay,
so
that wouldn't matter,
because
it's...
Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to check.
All right.
Roy?
Yes, I've got quite a few, actually. First of all, the bench that used to be next to the stand, that's gone.
I know. I reported it as being broken, and they come and took the whole bloody thing away.
Right, well, that needs to be replaced, because that was there for people to stay.
They won't replace it. They won't replace it until they repair that concrete slab. And right, where we are with that, I don't know.
That we ask them to dispose of that concrete slab. It's more hindrance and danger than anything else.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
Right. So if they get rid of that, are they then going to reimburse it with a new bond?
Oh yeah, I'll give you a lift.
Yeah. Good question. What can we do about that? Well, we can't do anything about that at the moment, but you're informing us.
Right, okay.
So just maybe it's something we could put on the agenda for... Is it an agenda item? Or is it just something you can phone up and say, well, Island Road, what's happening with this bench?
I'll
can't just take it away and not replace it.
Yeah, I'll ask Island Roads what's happening with it, because it's their responsibility on a Isle of Wight Council bit of land. So
how many should find the other bench?
It's not the bench, it's the concrete slab. The concrete slab is broken.
But that's the seat on it.
But the seat was completely knackered. I brought it up under this.
Let me say, it would be better removed. The concrete slab would be better removed.
Mm.
Like all the other benches, all the way around, are on a flat surface.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But because the bench was there, on that concrete slab, there was then put a dustbin. Now, the dustbin is overflowing. Now, one day I went up there, and the local girl guides were running around playing, and there's dog shit in it.
Mm.
There's all sorts. Mm. And two local girls were taking cans to it. I said, don't go there, don't go there.
So,
the bin was full. Now, it's been full like this before.
I've got a feeling it's not our bin, isn't it?
Hang on. Let me tell you. Mm. I've emptied it before.
Yeah, I know you have.
With a dog scoop and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And taking it away. Where that comes from is not from the football matches. It's from the people wanting to use it as a dog bin. Mm. That bin doesn't belong to anybody now. It was discarded. It was at the front, at the port. It was then moved up to the ground, because I said that would be useful, and it is useful. Now, if we can get it filled and emptied, because they're filling it all the time, and if they're filling it, it means it's needed.
Yeah.
Hang on, it's needed. No, well, two ways about it, it's needed.
What about if it was just moved from there down to the other one?
Right, that was what I was going to suggest, down to the one at the front.
Yeah.
Now, if they do that, will they empty it then?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Right.
Having done the thing with Sally on the bins, Island Road's made perfectly clear that you can't just move a bin, and they certainly wouldn't empty a bin without knowing it was there.
Right, it's been there now 2 years.
This comes up all the time, and it's always said it's not an official bin, is it? And that's so they don't.
Rather, let them take it away then. But then you're going to have a situation where you're going to have rubbish all over the show. Because it's full to the brim, it means it's needed.
Sure.
So do you want to keep it clean? Do you want to keep the football, the recreation ground clean? Or do you want a bin there?
Well, I think Roy, the first thing to
have
do...
Have a look and see if she's a second on,
put it down
on the bin audit. It's going to be part of the bin audit.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it'd be so easy to put it down at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, you pick it up. Yeah, and if they refuse to empty it, well, as you say, they can take it away.
And then they can take it away. Yeah. And we're not worried about it.
Okay, Roy, anything else? You have some
questions? No, that's me. That's the
moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Dave.
I want to go.
True. Mark.
Thank you.
No. Thank you. Right, it's 8:00. It's 21:39, and we're closed.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.